Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. A close vote in the Old Dominion, a vote with national implications.
Voters in Virginia have approved a congressional redistricting plan that could help Democrats win up to four additional U.S. House seats in this year's midterm elections.
We don't have the population of Northern Virginia.
Ruth Ann McCartney voted in South Hill.
As a rural area, we just need to be heard.
She was a no.
I just want to be even.
Tangerine Gost voted yes.
Democrats and Republicans. To me, it really, they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Joanne Lucy's theory?
I'm wondering if maybe it's just because of Trump.
But their votes may not be the final say. The question still faces legal challenges, including before the state Supreme Court. I'm Ben Thomas.
And Virginia's Republican leaders, including former Governor Glenn Youngkin, accuse the Democrats of advancing an unconstitutional process that will disenfranchise millions of Virginians. Sounds like the Iranians are severely testing President Trump's patience.
Iran opened fire on a container ship in the Strait on Wednesday morning, and a second was attacked a short time later, according to the British military's United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations Centre. Iranian state television then reported that the ships were in the Revolutionary Guard's custody and were being taken to Iran.
Correspondent Charles Della Desma. Ukraine's foreign minister says Kiev is pushing for direct talks between President Zelensky and Russian President Putin. In the meantime, the war drags on. Russian authorities say a Ukrainian drone strike in Russia demolished a residential building, killing a woman and a child. Ukraine has also developed long-range drones targeting Russia's military infrastructure. Watching Wall Street this morning, Dow futures are up 309 points. The Nasdaq futures ahead 210. S&P futures better by 44 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're hearing my voice, chances are you're either worried about a parent living alone or you are that parent. And you know your family worries about you too. Either way, there's a company that finally got senior safety right. Connected Caregiver. Connected Caregiver is everything you knew about alert devices, fall detection, emergency button, GPS, reimagined for today. There's a small wearable that alerts your family's phone the moment something happens. Inside your home, discrete sensors, no cameras, no microphones, just motion sensors have you covered even when you're not wearing it. No movement for hours, your loved ones will know. For the kids, you go from hoping everything's okay to knowing it is. And for you, you stay in your home on your terms while giving your precious family the peace of mind they've been asking for. That's not losing independence, that's keeping it. Visit ccgoffer.com to see if you qualify for a free device. It takes 2 minutes. That's ccgoffer.com, ccgoffer.com. Do it today.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. The suspect wanted for a gas station shooting in Howard County has been arrested. Police say 46-year-old Shante Lachey O'Donnell of Virginia was taken into custody in another state on unrelated charges. O'Donnell allegedly shot and wounded a Shell station on Cradle Rock Way in Columbia during an attempted robbery Saturday night. Police say O'Donnell will be served with multiple Howard County charges in the coming days, and more information will be released at that time. And police have released the names of the victim and suspect in a Westminster murder-suicide. Investigators believe 57-year-old Laura Schussler shot her former husband, 60-year-old Craig Schussler, then turned the gun on herself. Police were called to the home on East Main Street shortly before 10 a.m. Sunday. And when officers entered the home, they found both parties dead. Westminster police assumed control of the investigation with assistance from the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your house. It's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications that top employers are looking for right now. Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
At Audion Hearing, our mission is simple, to make better hearing affordable for everyone. We're proud to offer high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98. Clear, comfortable, and ready to use right out of the box. And here's a study worth hearing. Research shows that wearing hearing aids can reduce your risk of dementia by up to 61%. Join over 1 million happy customers and hear the difference today by going to audienhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Well, a walk-off wild pitch dooms the Orioles.
Here comes Garcia. Nobody's covering home. The Royals win.
Wow.
On a wild pitch.
Ryan Lefebvre had the call on Royals TV as Ryan Helsley's pitch bounced in the dirt, blocked by Adley Rutschman, back onto the field of play, and Markel Garcia sped past. Royals snap an eight-game losing streak, 6-5 over the Birds in Kansas City. After the game, manager Albernaz on his closer.
Yeah, that was tough. Obviously very uncharacteristic of Helsley. It was tough to watch. He still competed. Yeah, it was tough. He just didn't have the feel for pretty much anything today.
Adley Rutschman came off the IL for Baltimore and smacked a two-run shot in the eighth. That gave the O's a short-lived 5-4 lead. Ravens getting good news, potentially. Defensive tackle Nnamdi Matabike underwent neck surgery last week, leaving doctors to believe the two-time Pro Bowler will be able to play this year. That's welcome news, of course, in Owings Mills, but doesn't affect GM Eric DaCosta's draft day decision-making.
It doesn't affect me very much. I think if we have the chance to draft a great defensive tackle, of course we will. One of the most important positions in football.
The team's pass rush suffered without Matabike in there last year, going from second in the NFL in sacks in 2024 with him to 30th without. Coming up in 30 minutes, the injury news not so good on Jackson Holliday. And that is Stein on Sports.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Yousefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Yousefi. Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
WCBM News Time 9:07. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy with some light rain showers early. After that, it's going to be much milder this afternoon with highs close to 70. Tonight, partly cloudy and milder with temperatures falling back into the low 50s. We've got sunshine on Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
55 degrees in Westminster, 58 in Easton, and 54 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. You know, I'm feeling a little apprehensive this morning because my producer asked if I was going to a country hoedown after work. My outfit does look a little, you know, I don't know. I allowed my 9-year-old to help me pick out my clothes this morning. And, of course, she went with this nice, bright pink blouse. If you're watching the live, don't forget we're live on Rumble X and Facebook from 9 a.m. to 9:30 every morning here, Monday through Friday, on WCBO 680. And so you'll see that I have a hot pink blouse on. And I don't usually do hot pink, but Olivia insisted. And then, you know, I've got the high-rise jeans, so we had to do, like, the whole tie-up thing at the bottom of the blouse. So it kind of does look like I might be attending a country line dance later. I didn't think about it until Brian, the producer, pointed it out. So now, yeah, now I'm feeling a little shy. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are having a great morning so far. Hopefully you had a great night last night. Virginia Republicans, you might not have had a great night. I know. But don't you worry. Don't you fret. I'm going to explain how this is not the end-all, be-all. I saw online last night there were a lot of people saying, oh, no, Virginia's going to do mid-cycle redistricting. This is a problem. Florida's got to fight back. Indiana's got to fight back. And I do. I want to see those states fight back. Okay? We in the Republican Party, we want to see some fighting, for sure. But at the same time, let's make sure that we are having an honest conversation. We don't want to be like the Democrat Party here. We want to have an honest conversation about what happens next with the redistricting. So, I wanted to also note today on the show, we'll talk about the state's attorney out of Carroll County, Haven Shoemaker. Great state's attorney. We'll talk about his comments. He did sit down with Fox 45 yesterday to talk about how not only is he retiring, but he's leaving the state of Maryland. And his quote here is, "Maryland is a lost cause." It breaks my heart that he says this, but I understand it completely, 100%. 100%. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk really quickly. I was on Fox 45 this morning. You know, don't forget, I've got the Wednesday hit if you ever, have the chance or the opportunity to watch at 8:45 a.m. right before the show. We were talking about Mayor Brandon Scott. He's beefing up the staff at his office. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Kim, Baltimore City's population is on a decline. Why would the mayor need more incompetent people in his office? You know what? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, but I want to talk about it just a little bit before we get into the redistricting here. Now, this isn't usual for the show. Not very typical, but I've got three guests today. All right. Of course, I've already had Delegate LaToya Cagolo on the show. She's already booked on the show. 10 o'clock, we're going to do a wrap-up session with her. Obviously, we had the end of session there in Annapolis. This is her second session that she attended. And so we're going to get the lowdown from her. I did notice on Sidey Dot, the very last night of the session, you know, all the confetti dropped out of the ceiling and all the Democrats in Annapolis, they were celebrating the balloons and the hats and the, you know, and then you see LaToya, Delegate LaToya Cagolo. She's got her phone, her cell phone in her face, right? She's doing like the selfie video and she's just shaking her head like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing? Because nobody should be celebrating. Okay, I don't know why they were celebrating in Annapolis. They just made our lives a lot harder. They added more fees. They didn't actually balance the budget. And they added more laws that really go against our constitutional rights. Like the ban on Glocks. Yes, if you're watching on the stream and you don't live in the state of Maryland, they just banned Glocks. Yes, in the state of Maryland, our Second Amendment right was just taken away from us. So anyways, we're going to get into that, but we'll get into it with Delegate LaToya Cagolo at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, and this happened on the fly yesterday, if you guys were listening to the show, there was a lot going on, all right? You had Glenn Gilhar, he's running in District 8, he is a Republican, and he's running for the House of Delegates, and he was in the studio yesterday, and we were talking about Senate Bill 439. And that bill was introduced by Senator Carl Jackson, and it was passed. And what it does is it allows firefighters in the state of Maryland that have medical need for cannabis to be able to smoke cannabis, whatever it is they're prescribed. I don't know how all that works, to be honest with you. But he decided to go with the fire union. They asked him to go forward with this bill. He pushed this bill forward. When Glenn Gilhar was in studio, he had some of the documents and some of the bills with him. And so he was reading off of one of the pages there, and it said that employers were prohibited from prohibiting smoking on the job. And he had this one page, and he's got it all highlighted, and he hands me that page. And he says, "See, Kim, this is what it says." So I took that, and I'm looking, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, well, damn, my guy, that is what it says. Wait a minute, what are you saying? Can firefighters smoke on the job? No, that can't be. So anyways, Senator Carl Jackson was sitting in the dental chair at his dentist's office. He calls in the show, and he says, that's not what it says. And so then, you know, Glenn, his interview was over. He leaves the studio. Senator Carl Jackson, I guess, eventually gets out of the dentist's chair. He sends me a text message, with the sheet before the one that Glenn handed me, where it says that, besides this subsection, it was very confusing. It was very confusing, right? But what Carl Jackson was saying is like, look, you got to read the page before that where it says that they cannot smoke on the job. So then we got Glenn Gilhar back on the phone, even though he was in the car leaving the studio. And I said, Glenn, now why did you only show me the one page? Because if you go to the page before that, yes, it is very confusing, but it kind of clears it up just a little bit, don't you think? And so Glenn says, okay, maybe I misinterpreted. All right. Possibly. I still don't know why you were just giving me the one page, but you know what? I'm going to let that go for now. All right. I'm going to let that go for now. But I will say this. We had to get on the line. I then sent a text out To the Baltimore County Union President, Steve Redburn. I said, hey, how fast can you get in here to clear all this up? Because, of course, many people called in, many people texted in, and they said, Kim, I don't think that the firefighters should be using cannabis even for medical reasons at all. Now, some people were saying, I think it's just fine. Well, anyways, Steve Redburn was kind enough to come into the studio. He says, look, Kim, I will be there tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We'll straighten all this out. So at 11 o'clock, Steve will be with us, all right? So we'll straighten all this out. We'll try to understand, you know, the root cause, as the Democrats would say, the root cause of all this drama, right? Is this something that the firefighters need? You know, what does the bill really say? How did they interpret the bill? Anyways, that'll happen at 11. Then 11:35, we'll have Delegate Nino Mangione, and I don't know if he'll be in studio or on the line. We'll figure that out soon. But Delegate Nino Mangione will be with us at 11:35 a.m. We'll get his session wrap up as well. He's obviously running for a county council seat in Baltimore County. They expanded the county council. Thank God we got somebody like Nino Mangione running. So he'll be with us at 11:35. Like I said, we got a jam-packed show, so let's get into it. Let's get into it right now. Real quick, as I said before, we're discussing the fact that Mayor Brandon Scott, I just want to point this out. Mayor Brandon Scott in Baltimore City, okay? I don't know if there's any results where you could say he's done a great job. Now, some people will say, Kim, the homicide number has gone down. The crime is going down just a smidgen. And people will say, I'll attribute that to the mayor. Well, I don't. I don't attribute that to the mayor. I attribute that to the prosecutor, the state's attorney, Ivan Bates. Okay, the numbers didn't start going down until he was elected in 2022. Mayor Brandon Scott's been in this office since 2020. In 2020 and 2021, the homicide number was over 300 annually. Okay, with the non-fatal shootings, sky high. All of these low-level crimes that our former state's attorney used to call them, you know, whether it was prostitution, whether it was, you know, open-air drug markets, whether it was, it hadn't been gun trafficking, I'm sure we weren't keeping track of that. All these things were happening in 2020, 2021, and somewhat in 2022. Then you had Ivan Bates come to town, and he changed everything. He changed the entire dynamic. So, if Mayor Scott was actually effective, and his gun violence reduction strategy, GVRS, and Safe Streets, if all those programs, Monzie, if they were effective, we would have seen those numbers in 2021. We did it. Why? Because the mayor and his little crew wasn't effective. Well, now, get this. He's beefing up the staff as the population's on the decline. Now he's adding more staffers, and they're all highly paid, by the way, by taxpayers. Here's the thing that I thought was so great. Councilman Yitzi Schleifer, who likes to go out, you know, he doesn't always toe the line. Every once in a while, he steps out. And he says, you know what's so interesting? The money that you currently have there in Baltimore City, you can drop the property tax rate for the residents, but the mayor's deciding to beef up the staff with that money anyway. Okay? So just think about that. You have the opportunity as the mayor of Baltimore to lower the price, to lower taxes, and you're choosing not to. Not only that, you're choosing to add more people to your office. So there's a couple things that you're telegraphing to us, Mr. Mayor. Either you've got a lot of incompetent people in your office, and you need to add more, right? Because now you're doing quality over quantity. Now, of course, you had reporters at Fox 45 point out, here's cities across the country of the same size, and they have a lot less staffers in the office, and they're getting great results. So how do you do that? Explain that to me, all right? Mayor Brandon Scott, it sounds like you're hiring a bunch of incompetent people to do the job of one person. Is that what's happening? Now, I also pointed this out. Don't forget this part, all right? To all of my Baltimore City residents, to all the taxpayers, to all the voters, don't you ever forget about this. You had State Attorney Ivan Bates, who's doing a great job as a prosecutor. The results are there. You had the Inspector General, Isabel Cumming, who's doing a great job. The results are there. She's like Doge in Baltimore City. Both of those offices went to Baltimore City Council and the mayor last year asking for more staff, asking for money so they can hire more staff to continue the great work that they're doing. You know what the mayor told them? Do you remember this? The mayor told them to go ask each other and to figure it out between both offices. Remember that? He says, I don't have money to give you more staff, even though both of your offices are making me look good. That's what he should have said. He said, no, I want the Inspector General and I want the state's attorney. I want you guys to work together. So possibly you can put your money together. Just pull your money together and you can get more staffers that way. So he told him no. He told him no. He told him to take a hike. So this is what you're seeing now. Now he is beefing staff. Now, the mayor will say this, which is also, it's extremely shady. Extremely shady. But he said it anyway. The mayor says some of the staff that he's hiring will be done with private contributions. Now think about that. Think about them apples, ladies and gentlemen. Private contributions? Who's making these private contributions? Who's going to have their foot in the mayor's office that's paying for more staff in the mayor's office? Who is that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So somebody's going to have their thumb on whatever happens in the mayor's office, and we're not going to act like this is a conflict of interest? Mayor Brandon Scott, the fact that you even said that and used that as an excuse just shows me how low your IQ truly is. Anybody with a brain would have kept that quiet. But you said the quiet part out loud. You think it's okay to have private contributions come into your office to hire more staffers. Where are these staffers coming from? Is it from the private contributors? Is it the staff coming from them? Are they making the recommendations? Are they making the referrals? Who's making the private contributions, Mayor Scott? Who? Who? Is it David Bramble, the guy you just gave a bunch of money to revitalize the Inner Harbor? Who's making the contribution? Oh, my goodness. Baltimore City. It doesn't get more corrupt than this. It really doesn't. And he thinks everybody's stupid. We're not stupid. If anything, it's the people in your office that can't do the job. Not us. Anyways, I'm just giving you that food for thought there. Like I said, he said all of this in an interview, saying that, yeah, we're going to just have private contributions come in. They're the ones that money's going to go to more staff. That is shady business. Tell me another city that does that. If you can, text it in the text line or even call me, 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. Tell me about another city that brings in private contributions and then hires staff to be within the mayor's office in charge of taxpayer dollars. Tell me. Which other city does stupid, shady stuff like that? I'd love to know. I'd love to know. I've been doing this since 2014. Never heard of it a day in my life. All right. You know what? Speaking of money, we got our friend on the line. Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management. Oh, he's got our morning market flash every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lots going on still on the international front. I actually don't know what's going on, to be honest with you, Tim. Good morning to you.
I don't think most people do, Kim, honestly. I mean, what right when you think you have it figured out, there's a curveball that comes in, you know, in the last hour of the day that kind of changes everyone's the tune, so to speak, for the overall markets. But, yes, happy Wednesday to you. Good morning. And you're right. I mean, it's really hard to predict what's taking place right now with a lot of the geopolitical tension, you know, between the U.S. and Iran, the peace talks, the ceasefire talks. Yesterday after the market, of course, yesterday, by the way, Kim, we had a down day for the overall markets. U.S. equities, the major indices across the board traded lower, actually ending near their worst levels of the day. Unfortunately, technology stocks were down. Laggards included not only technology, but other companies such as airlines, apparel stocks, retail companies, pharmaceutical companies, a variety of different sectors in our country that make up our indexes, essentially were in negative territory yesterday. The Dow was down 0.59%. We can round it up to 0.6% for a decline. S&P down 0.63%, Kim. NASDAQ was off identically to the Dow, 0.59% as well. And the small cap index, the Russell 2000, off a full percentage point yesterday. Now, we've seen a big pullback here, obviously, with some of the ceasefire talks with the price of oil per barrel. Both West Texas Intermediate and Brent crude oil trading much lower than where they were just a few weeks ago. Yesterday, of course, after we had a down day in the market, shortly after the close of the stock market, President Donald Trump comes out and extends a two-week U.S. ceasefire, which boded well for the markets, and it actually is holding up the markets here earlier this morning, although there are also reports, I'm sure you're talking about this a little bit, Kim, but that Iran now has seized several ships in the Strait of Hormuz, which, again, that comes after we extend the ceasefire. So surprisingly, Kim, markets, based on President Trump's announcement and the fact that he had, quote, and I quote, a seriously fractured government, over in Tehran. Right now, it seems like the markets are reacting, again, in a positive manner to this extension on the ceasefire. Right now, the Dow futures are up 317 points, which is great for hopefully a little bit of a bounce back after yesterday's decline. S&P 500 futures, Kim, are up 42 points, and the heavily technology-based index up 199 points right now. So we're getting also some companies elsewhere, Boeing increasing more than 3% here this morning after their company reported a smaller-than-expected loss. They're right now among more than 80% of the S&P 500 companies that have reported their earnings so far, but ironically, Kim, that have actually surpassed their expectations for their earnings report, and that data is according to FactSet. So again, S&P last week erasing all of its losses since the beginning of the war between the U.S. and Iran, with the hopes of some of this, you know, the peace talks, the de-escalation. So we have to see how everything plays out here today, but so far so good, Kim. Keep your fingers crossed. Look forward to rejoining you on Friday morning.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
Lorian Harmony Hall opened a unique memory care program this year called Harmony Park. Lorian Harmony Park features an indoor setting that looks like an outdoor park space. It is a sensory neighborhood that is meant to offer wayfinding and other unique features to our residents to help them navigate their day. For more information, visit LorianAssistedLiving.com or call 410-531-6000.
Maid Pro, how can I help you today?
Oh my gosh, I called the wrong maid service, and now I'm in very deep trouble with my wife.
Maid Pro is here to help.
I need someone that is professional and takes the job seriously, no funny business.
All Maid Pro cleaners are background checked, bonded and insured, and are professionally trained in Maid Pro University. Maid Pro's 49-point checklist ensures that every cleaning is perfect every time.
I wish I called Maid Pro to begin with. I would not be in the doghouse today.
Make the right choice in maid service the first time.
Mention Arnold.
And your fifth cleaning is free. MaidPro.com. Maid Pro. Squeaky clean. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and co-workers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right. You heard there from Tim Herb. There is a lot going on straight up from Moosehead. You know what? I did see where Iran, I guess, what was it, three ships now? There's a lot going on. And you can't even... Look, I don't even know how much the administration knows, all right? I really don't. You know, in the next hour, we will talk a little bit about the latest on that one. Real quick to kind of wrap up what we were saying about the mayor's office. He wants to beef up the staff. Now, this is a proposal with the budget, okay? Again, he has the opportunity to lower taxes for Baltimore City residents, but he's deciding not to do that. He's deciding to hire more staff in his office. Now, apparently, it's going to put his office at about 139 staffers. To put this in perspective, back 10 years ago, you only had 39 staffers in the mayor's office. And at that time, we had almost double the size of the population in the city. Okay? So this makes absolutely no sense. Either the mayor has nothing but incompetent people around him, and he's doing quantity over quality, or he's hiring his friends, or he's doing somebody a favor. And you know which way I'm leading? I'm leading towards the favor. Because if you're hiring these staffers with private contributions in the mayor's office, I've never heard of this before. If that's what you want to do, I can only assume that somebody is giving you this money and they are referring these staffers because they want their special interests met. That's the only way this makes sense. Now, could there be more incompetent people in the mayor's office? Of course. Of course. Now, don't forget, the Inspector General right now, she is suing the mayor's office because she's not getting the information for an investigation she needs into the mayor's office, the Monzi in general, the mayor's office of neighborhood safety and engagement. And so, of course, Mayor Brent Scott saying, oh, I can't give her that information. It's private information. Yet he's willing to pull in more staffers. Right. So they would have access to all this private information. Not only that, but also to have have private donors make donations into the mayor's office. What kind of access would they have with those private contributions? You see how none of this makes any sense? Anyways, I wanted to leave that right there. I wanted to pick up the conversation on Virginia's redistricting. Yesterday, we talked about it just a little bit. It was Election Day in Virginia. And unfortunately for Virginia, the margin was very slim margin. But the Democrats, they had Obama making videos, right? He says, I want you to vote. Make sure you vote for mid-cycle redistricting, right? You had Governor Westmore, his head bobbing around as he's talking to reporters. He's down there saying, hey, everybody, we need you to vote for this. Well, anyways, it did pass. It did pass, and it looks like Virginia may be able to do mid-cycle redistricting. Now, this isn't the end-all, be-all. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Like I said, I saw people on social media last night losing their mind, pulling their hair out. This will still have to be decided upon by the Virginia Supreme Court. They will most likely kick this down. When we get back, I want to read to you the proposed question that was on the ballot word for word. Okay, I think the way that this question was worded, the language, will have the Supreme Court kick it out just from the question itself. So, if you're on the live, go ahead and jump into the show. I'll let you know exactly how to do that. But we'll talk about Virginia redistricting coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Iran has fired on several ships in the Strait of Hormuz and has seized two of them. It complicates efforts to bring the U.S. and Iran together in Pakistan for talks aimed at ending the war. The attacks came after President Trump indefinitely extended the Iran ceasefire, giving Tehran more time to draft a unified proposal ahead of any possible talks. By a narrow margin, Virginia voters have approved a congressional redistricting map that could help the Democrats win control of the U.S. House in November. The new map boosts the Democrats' chances of capturing four additional congressional seats in the midterms. State Republican leaders hope the Virginia Supreme Court will step in and undo what has been done. Southern Poverty Law Center has been indicted on federal fraud charges. Watching Wall Street, stocks opening higher this morning. More details, SRNnews.com.
Now here's Maryland Delegate Nino Mangione with the Maryland Minute.
The 26th session was a failure for Maryland. Thanks to Democrats, our state is less safe, less affordable, and less accountable. A record $71 billion budget, nearly $4 billion higher than last year, was built on accounting gimmicks and short-term fixes that ignore Maryland's structural deficit. There was no real effort to control spending, and the result is predictable. Higher taxes ahead, and more pressure on working families. Democrats also blocked allowing the Baltimore County Inspector General to investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in the school system. On public safety, the new policies weaken accountability for violent juveniles and strain an already overwhelmed juvenile system. Other bad laws restrict cooperation between law enforcement and ICE, removing tools used to detain dangerous illegal immigrants. At the same time, new statewide mandates add burdens on police. This session sends the wrong message: less support for law enforcement, less fiscal discipline, and less focus on basic public safety and common sense.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly all rolled into one again last night for Baltimore as the Birds keep taking one step forward and one step back. The good, the return of Adley Rutschman.
4-3 Kansas City of the 8th. Adley drives the ball. Deep left center field. Adley Rutschman, welcome back! In his first game off the injured list, Rutschman rocks a go-ahead two-run homer.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson. Rutschman's shot gave the Birds a 5-4 lead, top of the 8th. The bad, Rico Garcia, finally giving up a hit.
There's a high drive, deep to right field. Not only is it a hit, it's a homer, and it ties the game.
We just jinxed him.
Ryan Lefebvre and the former Oriole Rex Hudler had the call on Royals TV. Michael Massey's solo blast off Garcia, the first hit allowed this season by Suave, tied it at 5, bottom of the 8th. And then the ugly, a fundamental breakdown in the 9th.
Here comes Garcia. Nobody's covering home. The Royals win.
Wow.
On a wild pitch.
6-5 loss leaves the O's with a bitter taste going into this afternoon's rubber match at 2:10 p.m.
Chris Bassett on the hill for Baltimore. Meanwhile, Jackson Holliday's recovery from hammock bone surgery took a left turn. Last night, the Orioles second baseman removed from his rehab game with AAA Norfolk after experiencing right-hand discomfort.
He had some soreness on the opposite side, which, you know, sometimes there's you kind of compensate with some stuff. So his wrist on the opposite side got a little bit sore.
Now, that was Jackson's dad, seven-time All-Star Matt Holliday, on the podcast Foul Territory, divulging his son's injury situation, which I'm sure the Orioles could have done without. Holliday broke the hammock bone before spring training and underwent surgery on February 12th, so it's been almost 10 weeks. Coming up in 30 minutes, Steelers ownership playing musical chairs with Ravens fans. And that is Dine on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are starting the day off with mostly cloudy skies and a few scattered showers, but after that, it is time to warm back up. It's going to feel like spring again with highs close to 70 this afternoon. Partly cloudy and comfortable tonight as lows drop back into the low 50s, and then even warmer starting on Thursday. We've got sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. Mid-70s will follow on Friday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Hunter lied on a gun application form. Wesley Snipes convicted three counts of tax evasion in 2008 for bilking Uncle Sam on taxes up to $15 million. IRS said he owed taxes. He was later sentenced to 3 years in prison. Remember the guy Jersey Shore star Mike? Yeah. Anyway, 8 months sentence for skirting $2.3 million in taxes. Not Hunter.
Sean Hannity. Weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury victims for over 30 years, on the web at maflaw.com.
All right, good morning. Happy Wednesday to all of you. You just jumped off the live. I see John in the text line said he just jumped off the live. He's got the app. John, you're doing the right thing. You are. You are. We have a lot of fun here all week long and all day long, by the way. You've got Casey and company before me. You've got Rob Carson after me. And we've got a great lineup. So, you know what? It's a great app to have. I do have a text here because I know Sean Casey was talking about Haven Shoemaker, right, and his comments about leaving the state of Maryland. Christina says, I'm 100% moving out of Maryland in July of 2027 when my pension kicks in. Maryland is lost. And that's the first time Christina has texted into the app. Christine, I think, you know, a lot of people understand when people say that, and we'll get to that conversation a little bit later. Todd in Street says, hi, Cam. The mayor was asked if he thought that this was a conflict of interest. He said, if it's not illegal, then it's not a conflict of interest. What the heck? Todd, this guy, oh, man, and look, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. Let me make sure I preface this. It's nothing personal. I think Mayor Scott just doesn't really know how to be a mayor. I think that's what it comes down to. Now, the only job he's ever had is in government, right? Remember, he worked under former Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. Even before that, I think he had like an internship at the mayor's office. Then he became a city councilman. And then when you had Mayor Jack Young had to step into the mayor seat because Catherine Pugh was arrested and went to prison. Well, anyways, so then you had Mayor Scott. You had Mayor Scott at that time. He became the city council president. And so he kind of just worked his way up from there. And I think people know that he has good intentions. But, you know, the unfortunate part, number one, is his ego, right? He's extremely arrogant. He doesn't like to listen to anybody else. And he thinks he knows all ends all, right? He thinks he's got it all figured it out. And he doesn't. And then on top of it, the people that he has around him, that he surrounds himself with, I understand that, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to bring in the community because the community is going to make this work and we're going to get it done. The problem is a lot of people from the community was educated by the Baltimore City public school system. And a lot of those kids that are now adults have no idea what the hell they're doing. Okay. Look, I'm not saying that they're all crooked people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the incompetency is strong in this city. and they can't get it done. On top of it, they've got people brainwashed, and I saw this when I was running against Kwaisin Fume. They'll say, you know, Kwaisin Fume, his whole thing was, I'm from here, you know me, right? When you're not from Baltimore City, you've got a lot of people believing that you don't have good intentions for Baltimore City. That you don't know how the city works and that you're not going to keep the culture, and, you know, as it is, and it's going to be this huge change and you're coming in and regentrifying the place. And that's not the case. That's not the case. But you've got so many people that are brainwashed into thinking that you have to have people from the city to make the city great. Meanwhile, those are the same people that have been here as it's on a downward spiral. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They keep electing the same type of person. The person that grew up in Baltimore City, watched the city go from great to struggling, and can't figure out how to make it successful. And they say, okay, well, they have the same skin color that I have. They grew up in Park Heights like I did, and so they're going to be the best for the job. Not the case. Not the case. But it's so hard to convince these people of this. Again, I'm not saying that he's got bad intentions. I'm not saying that he is a corrupt individual. What I'm saying is what he's doing is corrupt. And that's the problem. When you have an opportunity to save taxpaying dollars for your taxpayers, and you're choosing to take that money and beef up the staff around you so they can continue to feed into your ego, that then becomes a thing where you're selfishly governing based on your selfish emotions, based on exactly what you want to do personally. Again, it has, at that point, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's you, your agenda, your ego, your arrogance. It's the entire, you know, gambit. Unfortunately, now taxpayers suffer. Now, city council has an opportunity to do the right thing here. They can actually strike down and say, no, I'm not going to push forward with the proposed budget from the mayor. City Council President Zeke Cohen, do you think he's going to do that? No, because he wants to be in Mayor Brandon Scott's good graces. Do you think there's other city council members that are going to say, you know what, guys, this is really wrong. We shouldn't have private contributions going into the mayor's office to beef up the mayor's staff. This is wrong. Do you think a lot of people are going to say that on the council? No. Because they want to make sure they keep their seats and they want to be able to get favors from the mayor, you know, moving forward. This is again, why they need an inspector general like Isabel Cumming. Yet Isabel Cumming is suing the city because the mayor is trying to keep her out of the city's offices. I mean, it's like, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. And it's not rocket science. It's not. It really is. It's just a sad situation. So, yeah, Todd, the fact that he said, oh, it's not illegal, so it must be fine, I feel bad for the taxpayers. And this is why, when Christina and so many people text in, this is why they're leaving the state of Maryland altogether. You're not only seeing this in Baltimore City. Think about the governor's office. He knows that there's all these scathing audits. You had $8.5 million leave the state house. Nobody even knows there was no oversight over that money at all. And we're looking at a deficit, and here you are on, you know, MS Now and all these national news networks talking about, oh, I'm going to make sure we turned a deficit into a surplus. No, you didn't. And not only that, none of the residents even believe you. But they're not going to question you. Jen Psaki's not going to call you out. So that's why you run over to MSNBC. If you were really a man, and this is what I'm going to say to both the mayor and the governor, Westmore, if you were really men, right, if you really had the testicles to answer tough questions, you would sit down for an interview with Mackenzie Frost. You would sit down for an interview with those that actually ask you tough questions like Gary Collins. But this is how I know that you aren't man enough for the job. Just so you know, this is me talking, my opinion, Kim Klasick. You're not man enough for the job if you can't answer tough questions. That comes with the job. And everybody can see it. And, you know, calling people racist or saying, oh, it's Sinclair Media, they're doing this because I'm black. Well, you know what? Ivan Bass doesn't have the same problem you have. That's a black man, by the way. Mayor Brandon Scott telling everybody, you know, oh, they're calling me DEI mayor because I'm black. Well, Governor Westmore is a black governor. No one's calling him DEI. That's a personal problem. All right. Enough of that. Let's get into Virginia and the redistricting here. Also, real quick, I'm going to give you a question of the day because this is going to come up in the 11 o'clock hour. If you go to WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you agree with Maryland's firefighters' use of cannabis to treat medical issues? In parentheses there, I've got the Senate Bill 439 if you want to look further into it. But this was the big conversation we had yesterday. There are many people that called in and said that they don't want firefighters to be able to use cannabis, even, you know, off the clock, if they have medical issues. And so I want to get your thoughts on that. Do you think it's okay? Maybe you have a different feeling. So I want you to take the poll question, yes or no, very simple. Do you agree with Maryland's firefighters' use of cannabis to treat medical issues? Senate Bill 439. Go ahead and cast your vote. Again, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. It's at WCBM.com. If you have the app, the poll question is easy to take there on the app. Speaking of questions, let's get into Virginia's ballot question just yesterday. What a nightmare this is. All right. Now, again, we got to have faith. We've got to have, keep believing. What song is that, Brian, the producer? Is that Journey? Yeah, that is. That. Don't stop believing. There you go. See, and people like to say that I act white. I don't know a single white song. But I kind of knew that. Oh, wait, country music. People will say that's white. But you know what? I don't think it is. Music is music. There's no color in music. Anyways, I tried my best there. I did. You got to believe, though. The Virginia Supreme Court is going to have the final say. I wanted to read to you the ballot question, and then I want to get into some audio here as well. In case you're just joining us, Virginia had their elections yesterday, and a ballot question there was a proposed constitutional amendment. And basically, it would allow mid-cycle redistricting. And so the Democrats in Virginia, to, you know, offset what's going on in Texas, they want to take, they have 11 seats altogether. And right now they have 6 Democrat seats, 5 Republican seats in the state of Virginia. What they want to do is take it to 10 to 1. So basically 10 Democrat seats, 1 Republican seat. The map itself is crazy. It's ridiculous, but not as ridiculous as the question. All right. So with this language that was used, and if you guys want to weigh in on it, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I want you to listen to this question, because I think they're going to flip this thing just based on this. Here it is, right? And if you just think, if you're a voter, right, you're there in the booth and you've got to answer this question. Listen to this. Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness in the upcoming elections while ensuring Virginia's standard redistricting process resumes for all future redistricting after the 2030 census? Yes or no? It sounds like an SAT question. Look, if I wasn't listening to Obama or any of the conversation, right, that they've been having in the news and the media, and I was reading that question in the booth, I'd be like, wait a minute, what? I would have to read this more than 4 times. Okay? Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness in the upcoming elections while ensuring Virginia's standard redistricting process resumes for all future redistricting after the 2030 says... What? Oh, man. That's crazy. Anyways, that was the question. So you had to answer yes or no. Now, again, if you weren't paying attention to the national conversation, and there are a lot of people that knew it was election day, and maybe they're not watching this on a daily basis, you would read that question and say, okay, well, I do want fair elections. I do want fair maps. And you might, in fact, select yes. Well, anyways, the margin was very, very close. Very close. I want you to take a listen to this audio here. In regards to it, then we'll talk about some of the margins. Take a listen.
Map would likely mean Democrats would control 10 of 11 districts in Virginia. We at Fox spoke with voters across the Commonwealth, and they tell us they are split over this decision to redraw.
I think it's extremely disgusting. Spenberger's campaigned as a moderate. She's ruling as a extreme left wing.
We vote yes so we can keep the balance of power because of what Texas is doing. They're redistricting so they can have more pro-Trump seats. And I don't necessarily want an anti-Trump seat, but I want someone who's going to balance it out.
You may not be able to tell from looking at it behind me, but there was a steady stream of people coming in, likely before they headed to work this morning. But already, Bill, a lot of people voted early in Virginia, more than 1.3 million ballots cast just before Election Day. Bill.
Yep, a lot of interest in this one. Virginia, of course, a purple state, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out today. Mark Meredith, live in Virginia.
All right, so there you have it. A lot of people voting early there. Now, when it comes to the congressional redistricting ballot measure, you had, this is what's so interesting, too. At around 8:39 p.m., right, when 76% of the votes were in, you had 50.4% voting no. At that time, you had 49.6% voting yes. By the time 93% of the votes came in, it completely flipped. 50.4% voted yes, and 49.6% voted no. That's how close it was. Now, if you can imagine, we talked about this yesterday because we noticed it. You had lots of Democrats showing up in Virginia pushing this ballot measure. You did not have a ton of support from the RNC. Okay, this is, again, you had Obama, you had Wes Moore, Cory Booker. There were all these people that were called in to push this ballot measure. Did you see any Republicans? No, you didn't. Why? Because we, we didn't do anything. Scott Pressler went down on his own accord, as he always does. You had Tyler Boyer. This kind of pissed me off a little bit. Tyler Boyer over at Turning Point USA, he says, well, look, there wasn't a lot. This margin was very slim. A little bit of ballot chasing could have happened here. Tyler Boyer, let me just say this, my friend. And I, again, Charlie Kirk's assassination breaks my heart. And every time I see a video of Charlie circulating online, it breaks my heart all over again. We were robbed of Charlie Kirk. Okay? We were robbed, straight up. But let's also talk about the fact that Turning Point USA brought in millions upon millions of dollars after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You're telling me Turning Point couldn't have done a little ballot chasing? Really? Really, Tyler Boyer? Really? So he's online complaining about ballot chasing. They absolutely had the resource, they had the manpower, and they had the money to do it. So anyways, I'm requesting a meeting personally, just so you guys know, with the RNC head and with Turning Point's Tyler Bauer, or Boyer, I should say, because there are things that could have been done. Now, I'm not requesting this meeting to, you know, hassle anybody. I'm requesting this meeting because I never want to see this crap again. Yes, the margin was very slim. And yes, we had the resources to combat it. We didn't do it. All right. So that said, don't forget, the Supreme Court there in Virginia, they will decide. I think, and my friend Chris Palumbi, he was texting me yesterday about all this. He said, because of that, the question there on the ballot, he says, with the Virginia Constitution, you must provide a neutral explanation. So with the ballot question and the way that all this was framed, he believes, and many people believe, that they're going to overturn this just based on the fact that the ballot question itself was not neutral. And there wasn't an explanation, and it just was not fair. So we shall see what happens next. But I'm not very happy with the RNC, and I'm not very happy with Turning Point USA. Yeah, the numbers could have been different. We could have been in a situation where we're not relying on the Supreme Court, but we didn't take the initiative. We didn't do that. All right, coming up next, of course, I do want to let you guys know, don't forget, Delegate LaToya Cogollo. I believe she's going to be in studio, right? She's going to be in studio. I think she's here. Delegate LaToya Cogollo, she'll be coming up next. We're going to do a session wrap-up with the delegate. Like I said, I loved her little video. Everybody's celebrating on the floor in Annapolis. So not everybody, all the Democrats, right? The confetti's dropping. And here's LaToya with her video, like, this is crazy. This is crazy! You didn't do anything great for the Maryland people. So we'll get into that with the delegate coming up next. Real quick, Winter is officially in the rear view and your backyard is calling. And of course, you know, when we talk about Town Appliance, we talk about all the great things they do. So don't forget, they can help you. They can hook you up with your backyard, but they also have appliances that go anywhere, not just outside, but everywhere. So if you're looking to upgrade your home, then you got to visit Town Appliance in Owings Mills. Their showroom is massive, featuring over 70 top brands, everything from basics to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JetAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag. So whenever I stop in, I told you, they're my friends, Mayor and Mayor. They make the experience wonderful. And they're actually like little comedians, too. So that's always fun. They are so knowledgeable and truly happy to help you find exactly what you need. Plus, right now, it's a great time to buy as Town Appliance is officially kicking off their Spring Black Friday shopping event. You can also take advantage of their flexible financing options to turn those dreams appliances into reality. They're open Sunday through Friday in Owings Mills. So check them out and check out their website at townappliance.com for more information.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He seems to be the one in with the guns emerging as the most powerful guy in Iran, which means he doesn't want a deal. And by any standard, Bahiti's considered more radical than maybe even the regime that was there before. Putting this guy with such a bloody, murderous record at the top of the Revolutionary Guard Corps confirms the regime is not moderating under pressure. On the contrary, they're going to double down on men who's on careers of people who have been built on hostage taking, assassination, domestic repression and torture and of people. And by any standard, he is considered as radical as the regime's hardline elite that was in power.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know, there's something big Americans keep forgetting about. You know, behind the news cycles, behind the tariff wars, the conflicts, war, ICE raids here at home, behind all of this, there's an uncomfortable truth that we need to admit. We do have $39 trillion in debt as a country. That is a ticking time bomb. That's over $355,000 per U.S. taxpayer. So I want you to ask yourself, are you truly protected from this pending disaster? If not, you may want to call my friends over at Gold Co. Now, Gold Co., I'm a customer. They're the number one gold and silver company in the business, and thousands of Americans are using Gold Co. to hedge their risk. They want you to be an informed investor, get their free 2026 gold and silver guide, and learn how you can get 10% off in bonus gold or silver while supplies last. Call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D or HannityGold.com.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, April 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Yeah, we were talking about Virginia and the redistricting. Man, oh man. The Virginia Supreme Court is going to have to come through. I've got Kurt in Edgewater. Kurt, did you want to weigh in on it?
Yeah, it's the same old crap. The Democrats are the criminals. The Republicans are the Keystone Cops. It's constant. It's the same thing. It's why I don't consider myself a Republican, but I call myself an anti-Democrat because the Democrats are pathetic. They're a joke. People who vote for Democrats are stupid people. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you like it is. They're obviously communists. And for people not to be able to figure it out, you are stupid.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Kurt, you know, the Democrat Party definitely isn't what it used to be. And there are, I think there are some people that are afraid to admit it. Yeah.
That question, I mean, let's look at the question. It was a joke. How is a purple state possibly 10-1? You know, Texas, I would imagine, Texas probably got an influx of people from California. And you know, so, I mean, granted, they're doing a similar thing, but theirs is probably legitimate. Virginia is just flat out stealing. That's what Democrats do.
Yeah.
They do illegal things on a constant basis, and the Republicans are too stupid to point it out.
Yeah, we should have combated this one for sure. Kurt, thank you so much. Hope you have a great week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Also, let's see, a couple of text messages coming in. We were talking about the mayor and the corrupt things he might want to do in his office that he did propose. Doug says the mayor is too dumb to understand that he needs to hire people smarter than himself. Doug! Doug, you nailed it! Why didn't I say that? You nailed it, Doug. Oh, man, you're so right about that. Speaking of Texas, looks like we have a texter who says they're moving their family from Maryland, away from Virginia and Maryland, and to Texas. You know what? He says he's also going to continue to listen. Well, thank you for that. But I don't blame you. Coming up next, Doug and LaToya Cagola will be in studio with her session wrap-up.
You arrive at Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville. The aroma alone will have your mouth watering. Freshly roasted pork, daily caught seafood, and homemade desserts that taste just like mom made. You'll find everything you need to prepare a great holiday feast all in one stop. And don't miss Twin Brooks Furniture for incredible ideas at unbeatable value. Open Thursdays and Fridays 9-6 and Saturdays 8-4. Start a new holiday tradition with your family at Pennsylvania Dutch Market on York Road in Cockeysville.
Hey, it's Sean Casey. Last year sold out fast, and if you missed it, here is your chance. Join us for the second annual WCBM Pints and Politics, Thursday, April 23rd from 5 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Cafe and Timonium. I'll be joined by Delegate Nino Mangione for a live fireside chat about the big issues in Washington and Annapolis. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Tickets are just $25 and include light hors d'oeuvres and your WCBM pint glass. Seating is limited, so get your tickets right now at WCBM.com, and we'll see you at Michael's Cafe.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Iran has fired on three ships in the Strait of Hormuz and seized two of the vessels. The intensification of Iran's assault on shipping comes a day after President Trump extended a ceasefire, but he did press on with the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports. The president extended the ceasefire in order to give Tehran time to draft a unified proposal ahead of any possible negotiations.
Now that so many of Iran's top leaders are dead, the question of who's in charge there is a real one, making the job of diplomacy that much more difficult. It's probably a little early to gauge the impact of the president's latest move, but the immediate signs from Tehran are not positive. An advisor to the Speaker of Parliament and lead negotiator, Mohammed Bakr Ghalibaf, said Mr. Trump was buying time for another surprise attack. A military spokesman repeated a warning that Iran was willing to strike back if that happened.
The BBC's Paul Adams. By a narrow margin, Virginia voters have approved a congressional redistricting map that could help the Democrats win control of the U.S. House in November. The redrawn map boosts the Democrats' chances of capturing four additional congressional seats in the midterm elections. The state Republican leaders hope the Virginia Supreme Court will intervene, undoing what they argue is an unconstitutional process that will disenfranchise millions of Virginians. Southern Poverty Law Center has been indicted on federal fraud charges. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche says the SPLC improperly paid informants to infiltrate what it has labeled extremist groups without disclosing the payments to donors. The Law Center denies any wrongdoing in the matter. On Wall Street this morning, stocks comfortably higher. The Dow is up 462 points, gain of almost 1%. The Nasdaq ahead 226, and the S&P is up 57 points. More on these stories at Town Hall. .com
I talked to a lot of great companies. Very few of them actually literally surprised me, but Fellowship Home Loans sure did. For over 20 years, Mike and Brian and the team there have been helping families do something most people think is more complicated than it has to be. Get into a home, lower their rate, or tap into equity they didn't even realize they had. Everything at Fellowship is done in-house. One roof, one great team, all with a servant-led mentality. From your first phone call to closing, you're going to get people who know you by name. They'll know your situation. They treat you like family. They're also offering a free mortgage checkup right now. Don't miss out. Rates are lower now than if you purchased or refinanced your home in the last few years. Many Fellowship customers are saving hundreds of dollars a month when refinancing, and there are no payments for 2 months. Go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Good morning, it's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. A Perry Hall man has been sentenced following a conviction for threatening to execute Baltimore County Councilman David Marks. David Roars allegedly began the threats with a voicemail in November 2024, and he was arrested a year later. On Tuesday, a Baltimore County judge sentenced Roars to 3 years behind bars with all but 18 months suspended. According to the Baltimore Banner, he's receiving credit for 148 days served, and during the court appearance, he expressed remorse. Councilman Marks was in the courtroom and delivered a victim impact statement. And Mayor Brandon Scott's chief of staff wants Baltimore's Ethics and Inspector General Oversight Boards to review a message posted by IG Isabel Cumming. J.D. Merrill sent a letter to the boards condemning the politically charged content after a Facebook post featuring an AI image of the mayor with luxury items, cash, jewelry, and a headline saying exposed. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-869-2045 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-869-2045. That's 800-869-2045. What do you have to lose? Call 800-869-2045. Again, 800-869-2045.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
There was actually a lot of good to come out of last night's tough 6-5 loss to the Royals, a game the Birds lost on a walk-off wild pitch by Ryan Helsley in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, I should have picked Kobe.
You should have picked Kobe. Down the line and left. That's fair. Crush.
That's yeah, wow.
That is fair. Kobe Mayo with an absolutely destroyed fastball. Kevin Brown, Big Ben, and Dean Kramer mic'd up on the Madison broadcast. Mayo's first of the year, a 439-foot three-run shot in the second that gave the Birds an early 3-0 lead. And then
4-3 Kansas City of the eight. Adley drives the ball. Deep left center field. Adley Rutschman, welcome back! In his first game off the injured list, Rutschman rocks a go-ahead two-run homer.
Rutschman's first of the year as well. Post-game reaction from manager Albernaz on the struggling Mayo.
Yeah, it was great for Mayo. It was such a great swing on that pitch. No, I know he was excited for it. He's putting a lot of work to kind of get back to being him.
And finally, how about this? The city of Pittsburgh getting ready for the NFL draft. Steelers owner Art Rooney II revealing what he did to Ravens fans on WDVE Sports Radio.
You know, I did ask that, on the normal seating chart, I noticed that the Ravens fans were sitting in front of the Steeler fans in one section of the draft theater, so I asked them to make that change, and they agreed to make that
change. There you go. That was smart.
That's just good thinking right there.
Just another in a long list of reasons to revile the Steelers. Coming up in 30 minutes, a wild way to lose a game. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Whitney.
Whitstat. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Whitstat. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
WCBM News Time 10:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy with some light rain showers early. After that, it's going to be much milder this afternoon with highs close to 70. Tonight, partly cloudy and milder with temperatures falling back into the low 50s. We've got sunshine on Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
58 degrees in Bowley's Quarters, 57 in Pikesville, and 57 in Joppatown. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday to all of you. If you're just joining us, of course, we were talking about Virginia and the redistricting map and the fact that, yes, Democrats, as of right now, they might get their way, but the Virginia Supreme Court might just overturn it. And we were talking about that, and then also we were talking about the mayor's office. And I heard during the commercial break from Maggie Hunter there that apparently the mayor's office is looking into a post that was posted online by the Inspector General Isabel Cumming. I will look further into that so we can discuss that as well. Of course, right now we have an in-studio guest. I'm super excited because I got to go to Annapolis and hang out with her and testify for a bill that she worked on. Right now, Delegate Latoya Cogolo in studio. Good morning, Delegate. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Look, I was about to just call you Latoya. And I
That's okay, Delegate. Delegate Latoya.
I got to put some respect on your name. You are the delegate there. And I did want to ask you, before we get into this, because I know now the session is over. Mm. You guys go into fundraising. You go into the meet and greets.
Right.
And making sure you talk to people and understand.
Community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So right now, if you could, let us know. Do you have an event coming up? I just want to get that out there right now in case people are tuning in. Yep.
I do. I have a fundraiser on May 4th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at Elephant in the Room in Millersville. Now, if you've never been to Elephant in the Room and you're a conservative, you are in for a treat. So
nice.
I hope to see you there, Kim. I hope to see other folks there as well.
May 4th. Is that a Monday?
It is a Monday.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah. No, if I can make it down, I'll definitely be there. Like I said, I know you guys. Yeah, look, I don't envy your job. You guys got a lot going on. I will say, I got a text here from RL. He says, Kim, Maryland is one of the most unaffordable states to live in. As soon as I retire, I'm out of here. That seems to be the common
theme. Hear that from people just about on a regular, I would say at least on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That most people are planning their escape. And it's, I mean, Maryland has become not only business unfriendly, but family unfriendly. You know, it's hard to start a business here, to start a family here, to retire here.
And it's only getting worse. Terrible. Yeah. No, yeah. It's bad all around. And, you know, we'll get into some of those comments and, of course, the Utility Relief Act in just a second. But I wanted to get into real quick because, like I said, I was in Annapolis with you. I testified on a bill.
You did, and I appreciate your support.
Well, absolutely. Of course, I'll be there. But we were, you know, during this session, we were talking at the very end about a delegate that believed that Republicans were just so ineffective that there was no need to actually be there. And he wanted to protest. And I thought, you know what? Because he even mentioned, he said, yeah, well, Republicans don't pass any bills in Annapolis. And I thought, well, that's interesting because I testified on a bill that passed.
You certainly did.
Doug Latoya Cogolo, what did you get passed this session?
Well, I'm proud of my session. I'll say this. Maybe it's not the Republicans who are ineffective. Maybe it's just a particular delegate who's ineffective.
That's possibility.
And I think that it makes a difference. You know, I was proud to pass more bills than any Republican delegate this session. And on top of that, I was able to still maintain one of the highest conservative voting rates. So that speaks to the fact that you can be an effective legislator, work across the aisle, but still maintain your values and not compromise yourself.
And I want to add to that because you were also with the Black Caucus there.
Correct.
In Annapolis, and they are very progressive, and you still maintained your conservatism throughout that.
100%. And it's funny because a lot of the Democrats have got to the point where they would jokingly say to me, oh, Latoya, I know you're not going to vote for this. Oh, absolutely not. So So they know who I am. I mean, I think at this point, they know what to expect from me. You know, you're going to get something from me. I have some compassion. I know that there are some things that we can agree upon, but I'm not going to compromise myself for you.
Right, right. And that's what I love about you, which is why I support you 100%. What are some of those bills that you were able to pass?
Well, the bill that you helped with, and again, thank you for your support and a lot of the advocates. So this is a scalp cooling bill. So this preserves hair loss during chemotherapy. It took us 2 years to work on it. You know, we had to be very fiscally conservative to make sure that it wouldn't cost taxpayers any additional dollars. So we did eliminate Medicaid from the bill. So it now requires private insurances to cover it. So the cost to private insurers is 12 cents per member per year. So we were able to work it down to that number. And it passed with overwhelming support. This was probably one of the most impactful bills of the session, because if you had heard the debates on the floor where people cried, they shared their stories. These were men, women, Republican, Democrats alike. And it passed overwhelmingly. And I'm proud of the work that we did. And it shows that at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and we want to support our cancer community.
Yeah. Well, I will say, as I was up there testifying that one day, and I was joking because I did, I walked up there in heels and it was ice on the ground. Right. I'm slipping and sliding. I'm like, I'm not going to miss this. I made it over
and
there.
And in one piece.
Yeah. But there was, I remember, you know, many people testifying on this bill with some of their heartfelt stories, delegate. And I remember seeing some of the husbands in tears, and because their wives had gone through chemotherapy and they lost their hair. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one gentleman, one delegate.
Delegate Tom Hutchinson, who was phenomenal. I mean, he fought for the bill in committee, defended it on the floor. He was our floor lead. And I'll tell you, he did an amazing job leading that debate. So we owe him a lot.
No, absolutely. I just want to say, you know, when it comes to the conservative values, right, we value the institution of marriage. Right. And that can change your marriage when your wife or husband goes through something like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're able to help out to make sure that we continue to help even just that union, I think it is very impactful. And I'm so happy that you worked on that bill. So I just want to say personally, thank you so much. I think I told people my personal journey here. Mm-hmm. I, you know, luckily did not go through chemotherapy. It wasn't cancer. Mine, unfortunately, was alopecia at 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So I could just, you know, really give my testimony on how that affected my life as a teenager. But, you know, some of these people are going through much worse, right? Yeah, yeah. And they don't know if they have a death sentence in front of them. So again, thank you for doing that. I know you got other bills to talk about, so I won't continue.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add that scalp cooling, it will go into effect January 1st, 2027. We have about 11 or 12 other states who are now working on the legislation. Maryland is the fourth state to pass it into law, so I'm very proud that we are now able to be trailblazers and help other states.
Well, thank you so much for that. Yeah,
and
what else you got?
Again.
Yeah, of course. What else you got?
Yeah, so I had a total of four bills passed. So the other bill was House Bill 596. And it's the Maryland Uniform Simultaneous Death Act. So basically what this bill does is that if you and your spouse were to die tragically, let's say, and it came from a constituent who her parents had died within days of one another in a house fire. So they had to process the probate. They had to do the estate, first process one death and then the second death. So this becomes a very strenuous, difficult process for families when they have to handle two estates from people who died pretty much within a short amount of time of one another. So what this does is it allows a 120-hour window between one death and the other to be processed as one death. Okay. And it's a federal law. We're just aligning Maryland with the federal law. And it's helped streamline the process for a lot of families, our probate system. So a lot of people, my constituents especially, are excited that this bill is passed.
Effective government. Wow.
Yeah. And common sense. And actually, bills that pass unanimously, because there are some things that I think if we just meet in the middle that we can actually work together. And that's all of my bills, except for scalp cooling, passed unanimously in the Senate and the House.
Oh, nice. What else you got there? That's a good one.
So the two other bills are supporting our veterans. So House Bill 606 is offering tax payment of tax property deferrals for Anne Arundel residents who work in our, we call it NOAA. So that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And then our our public health service workers. We got a tax, property tax deferral for those folks. And then House Bill 677 is respecting our veterans and making sure that their remains are properly taken care of in death. So there are a lot of new trends and ways that you can be cremated. So not just ashes. They now do it where they can convert your remains to soil and water. So that's just another way to respect our veterans. And
convert our remains to water.
I know. You learn a lot when you're a legislator.
Oh,
I mean, it's very interesting when you do the research and you just learn all of the latest trends and, you know, just kind of bring our legislation up to speed with, you know, where we are today in society.
Wow. Well, right now, Brian, the producer, just write this down. I want to be converted into water. And I want to be like in a fountain. So
I said I want soil. I want to be planted like a tree.
No. I want to be in one of those fountains where it just like, you know, it recycles the water and just goes. That's me. And I want to put it right here on top of the studio mic center. Brian, the producer, can you make this happen when I die? All right.
Note it down.
Wow, I did not know that at all. But thank you so much for caring about our veterans. So let me ask you this, Delegate. Again, we're speaking to Delegate LaToya Cogollo. How were you so successful in getting these bills through? Did it require that relationship across the aisle?
Well, I'll say it required a professional relationship. I don't focus so much on having personal relationships down there, but it's a matter of talking to people, explaining your bills, soliciting co-sponsors. The more co-sponsors you have, the more likely it's going to pass because the committee's like, okay, well, there are Democrats and Republicans who like this bill. So it just requires a lot of talking. And I find that Republicans and Democrats alike, they don't talk to one another in getting support for their bills, which is why a lot of bills don't receive bipartisan support. But I solicit everyone and anyone. I think that that's a part of this success. I think the other part is that I try to legislate in a way that is common ground where like 80% of us agree on certain issues and things that I know will get passed. I did have some bills that it was actually one, the Safe Kids Act. So that bill was co-sponsored by a Democrat. It didn't pass. However, this bill came out of a very conservative legislative conference I attended last year, but I was able to explain it in a way that made bipartisan sense. Even though it was a very conservative bill about protecting children online, making sure that they're not exposed to pornographic materials and, you know, the things that we do to, you know, as mama bears. So that bill didn't pass. But again, it was a conservative bill that was co-sponsored by Democrats.
Well, let me go back real quick. So Democrats didn't like keeping pornographic images away from children?
You know what? I'm not going to say it was the Democrats. I'll say that lobbyists and advocates came in opposition of the bill. Exactly.
Those groups, we got to get lobbyists out of Annapolis. How can we do that? And I have some friends that are lobbyists, and every time they tell me stories, I just listen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even weigh in. I just listen like you're part of the problem.
And you listen and you shake your head, and I'm telling you, I think I need a chiropractor or a physical therapist at this point because I spent 90 days just shaking my head and my neck hurts because it's just unbelievable some of the things that you hear and what people are in opposition of.
So I would assume, and you don't even have to answer this, you can leave it. I would assume the special interest group would have to do with the LGBTQIA+ community.
They're a part of it. And then you have the anti-gun groups and you have, I mean, it just depends on the topic.
Yeah.
And,
well,
I'm
talking specifically about wanting to keep pornographic images away from kids.
So I'll say that we had a couple of folks from that community come out in opposition to my pro-life bill, which would make it a crime to knowingly slip a woman and morning after pill to induce an abortion. Because this is happening, men who don't want to have children are giving women a pill, slipping it some sort of way. So I put in the bill, and there were a few people from that group that came out and talked about, you know, reproductive freedom, and this is infringing on women's bodies. And no, that man has infringed on this woman's body. That's criminal.
Yes. Now, you would think you would call the police for a situation like that.
No.
So instead of Bill Cosby, he's like Will Cosby. He's given the morning is he a morning after pill?
The morning after pills, yeah. Any pill that will induce
Plan B thing? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. That is wild. Mm-hmm. Ladies, if you're out there dating,
be careful.
Beware. Yep. Beware. That's why they say wait till marriage, right?
That's right. That's the safest bet.
All right. When we get back with Doug and LaToya Cagola, we will go over the Utility Relief Act. I do want to talk about the Community Trust Act and a couple more bills, so stay right there. Imagine losing the ability to hear someone say, I love you, or the ability to hear a compliment, or hearing the birds chirp, your favorite song, conversation with old friends, or Kim Klasick Live. Losing your hearing takes a toll on you physically, emotionally, and socially. Now, this kind of suffering sounds familiar, and I hope it doesn't, but no matter what your age is, I want you to call my friends at Audiology Associates. The number is 410-944-3100. You see, Dr. Melissa Segev and her team take a gentle and empathetic approach for each patient's treatment plan, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now, Audiology Associates is the trusted name of Maryland, and they have been for over 45 years. They have offices throughout the Baltimore metro area as well. So all you have to do is call 410-944-3100. If it's easier, go online, www.aaiaudiology.com. When silence is not golden, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100.
Now here's Maryland Delegate Nino Mangione with the Maryland Minute.
The 26th session was a failure for Maryland. Thanks to Democrats, our state is less safe, less affordable, and less accountable. A record $71 billion budget, nearly $4 billion higher than last year, was built on accounting gimmicks and short-term fixes that ignore Maryland's structural deficit. There was no real effort to control spending, and the result is predictable. Higher taxes ahead and more pressure on working families. Democrats also blocked allowing the Baltimore County Inspector General to investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in the school system. On public safety, the new policies weaken accountability for violent juveniles and strain an already overwhelmed juvenile system. Other bad laws restrict cooperation between law enforcement and ICE, removing tools used to detain dangerous illegal immigrants. At the same time, new statewide mandates add burdens on police. This session sends the wrong message: less support for law enforcement, less fiscal discipline, and less focus on basic public safety and common sense.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show.
Joe Biden ruined the career of a young woman by digitally raping her on an elevator. I can't even begin to tell you how many times this probably happens in this city. Our Congress had a slush fund to pay off women to shut up about being sexually harassed and assaulted by members of Congress, and the bleep train is coming to its final stop.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking to Delegate LaToya Cagola here in studio. I want to get right into this because we don't have a ton of time left with the Delegate. But the Utility Relief Act, Delegate, that didn't save us a ton of money. Let us know, where were you on that issue, and why are we only saving $12 a month?
So you mean to tell me that $12.50 a month is not a ton of money, Kim?
It's
are you sure?
Not. I can't even look. I don't even know what I could buy with that, because Happy Meals right now are close to $12.
It's just laughable. It's laughable. And how we're saving $12.50 is that they're reducing the funding of Empower, where Empower is under heavy scrutiny right now because there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of millions of dollars that have not been accounted for. And I, in fact, put in an amendment to get rid of Empower altogether, because there are a lot of concerns, because they sold it as if it's a program to help low-income communities, whereas most of the people who are benefiting from Empower are middle class and commercial property owners, not low-income communities. But for some convenient reason, they're now running these ads. I don't know if you've seen the ads and the commercials where they have lower-income community members saying, I benefited from Empower. So that's what they do. They take that small fraction and they try to convince people that those are the main beneficiaries. So your $12.50 is coming from a program that they're reducing the funds where the program shouldn't be even be in place because the program has a lot of fraud and there are a lot of concerns about it. And whistleblowers are coming out and speaking out about it.
Yeah. No, not only that, we never even asked for it. I can't remember ever asking for Empower.
No. Right.
Well, anyways, you know, that's sad. But also the Community Trust Act. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. You know, 287G ban that was right out the gate there. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, Senator Bill Ferguson's trying to save his behind, so he's all about helping illegal immigrants. But I want to get your initial reaction to the Community Trust Act because it kind of popped up at the very end of the session there.
Yep, it certainly did. And I tell you that it was very convenient how they pushed that bill through, where we didn't have any time to look at any amendments, to find out any details what had changed on a Senate side. And they pushed it out at the final, I would say, last minute and a half, and didn't even allow the Republicans to debate or explain their vote or anything. They were determined. And I would honestly say that this session was probably the scariest because we came out the gate talking about gerrymandering and getting rid of the one congressional representative we have and pretty much spent most of the time talking about illegal immigration.
Yeah, well, we did a poll here, Delegate, again, respected Delegate Latoya Cogolo. We did a poll here. Who was the biggest winner out of the session? Everybody agreed illegal immigrants.
100%.
And that is a very sad case indeed. I guess, you know, I wanted to ask you because we were sold in the beginning of the session that this new speaker would be so kind to Republicans. I wanted to get, not to get you in any trouble because I like the fact that you work across the aisle to get things done. But did you feel as though that it was very fair in your eyes?
No. And I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to say no, because this session was more progressive than anything that I had. I thought that they would be a little tame because we're in an election cycle. No. To the contrary, it was ultra progressive. It was, I mean, we talked about this. How is it that the person who is the chair of the public safety subcommittee, he wants to defund the police? He's been anti-police since he's gotten to the House. And then you have the person who's the chair of the transportation committee who doesn't even own a car. That person won't have to pay registration fees. They don't know what it's like.
They have
no idea. No clue. So, you know, it's putting people in these positions that are ultra progressive, that will push the agenda. And unfortunately, the leadership is driving this.
Well, hopefully we'll get some more Republicans in this session. I know we got a lot of great candidates out there that you've been supporting as well.
Yes.
I guess looking forward to, you know, next session, real quick, if I could just ask, you know, is there anything on the top of your list that you might propose?
That is a great question. So I had a great bill this session that didn't pass. And I'll tell you, it's an angel tax incentive. So it would have brought revenue where businesses would have been given an incentive, a tax break, to headquarter here in Maryland and have 51% of their employees employed here in the state of Maryland. So all of our financial advisors, the comptroller's office, everyone was on board and in support of this bill, except for Westmore's Department of Budget and Management. Why is it that they didn't like the bill? So anyway, I'm going to set up a meeting with them. I'm going to have a come to Jesus moment with them. But we need to bring more revenue to the state. There were no bills that were introduced that would actually generate revenue. And we're spending more than we're bringing in. We're going to always be in a deficit if we continue down this road.
Absolutely. Doug Latoya Cogolo, thank you for your time as always. Before you go, again, your fundraiser and then your website, how can people donate to you?
Okay, so they can donate by going to Latoya, the number 4, Maryland spelled out, .com. And also the fundraiser is on May 4th at Elephant in the Room from 6 to 8 p.m.
Sounds good. Delegate, we'll have you back on again soon.
Looking
I appreciate your time. All right. Coming up next, we're going
to
talk about State's Attorney Haven Shoemaker in Carroll County. He said he's on his way out the door. I've got text messages to read and the latest in Iran. Of course, we'll get to those updates as well. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Democrats are one step closer to taking the closely divided U.S. House in the fall. Virginians have narrowly voted for a new congressional map, likely giving the Democrats 4 additional congressional seats. Fresh attacks in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran attacked and damaged a cargo vessel, then went after 2 other ships as well. This happened after President Trump extended the ceasefire deadline indefinitely. However, the president is maintaining the U.S. blockade on all Iranian ports. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been indicted on federal fraud charges. The Justice Department alleging the SPLC defrauded donors by using their money to fund the very extremism that it claims to be fighting. On Wall Street, stocks higher this morning. The Dow is up 431 points, NASDAQ ahead 296. More details, srnnews.com.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Well, a walk-off wild pitch dooms the Orioles.
Here comes Garcia. Nobody's covering home. The Royals win.
Wow.
On a wild pitch.
Ryan Lefebvre had the call on Royals TV as Ryan Helsley's pitch bounced in the dirt, blocked by Adley Rutschman, back onto the field of play, and Markel Garcia sped past. Royals snap an eight-game losing streak, 6-5 over the Birds in Kansas City. After the game, manager Al Bernaez on his closer.
Yeah, that was tough. Obviously very uncharacteristic of Helsley. It was tough to watch. He still competed. Yeah, it was tough. He just didn't have the feel for pretty much anything today.
Adley Rutschman came off the IL for Baltimore and smacked a two-run shot in the eighth. That gave the O's a short-lived 5-4 lead. Ravens getting good news, potentially. Defensive tackle Nnamdi Matabike underwent neck surgery last week, leaving doctors to believe the two-time Pro Bowler will be able to play this year. That's welcome news, of course, in Owings Mills, but doesn't affect GM Eric DaCosta's draft day decision-making.
It doesn't affect me very much. I think if we have the chance to draft a great defensive tackle, of course we will. One of the most important positions in football.
The team's pass rush suffered without Matabike in there last year, going from second in the NFL in sacks in 2024 with him to 30th without. Coming up in 30 minutes, the injury news not so good on Jackson Holiday. And that is Stein on Sports.
There's a new kind of energy at Starbucks. Try the all-new energy refreshers. Strawberry, acai, mango, dragon fruit, or the all-new mango strawberry. New energy refreshers only at Starbucks.
Previously on Casey and Company.
Wes Moore, there he is, at the very bottom of the poll with 0%. Zero. That's why he's upping the ante. That's why he's giving all these commencement speeches. That's why he went to a march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. In fact, he's more concerned about the Selma Bridge than he is the Key Bridge. Go figure.
Start your morning with Maryland's Wake-Up Call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
From Annapolis to Catonsville, from Dundalk to Reisterstown, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, again, thank you, Doug and LaToya Cagolo. As she said, it took some working across the aisle to get some bills passed. But she was able to do that on many instances. And to hear that she was helping veterans in Anne Arundel County, helping, first responders and even EMTs. Great news. Great news. I did want to talk a little bit about some of the other headlines that I saw yesterday. We are going to get into the comments from State's Attorney Haven Shoemaker in just a bit. But in case you missed it, because, of course, we've got to keep our eyes on Capitol Hill as well. You had another member of Congress step down. She resigned. Now, she is in the Democrat Party, and you might know her name is Sheila McCormick. And she has resigned because of an ethics investigation into $5 million in FEMA funds that have gone missing under her watch. Now, this is interesting because, of course, we just had Tony Gonzalez. Remember, he had to resign because of the affair, allegedly, he had with a staffer that later committed suicide. And then, of course, Eric Swalwell, just last week, he resigned because of everything that's surrounding him and possible sexual misconduct, right? And there's even an investigation. So now you've got another Democrat on the list that is now resigned. Now, there are calls for others to resign, basically comparing them to, you know, somewhat Eric Swalwell or the Tony Gonzalez situation. So not exactly on stealing money, but even Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Apparently, when she's talking about her funding, I don't know if you guys saw this, but she said there were accounting mistakes made. So she says she's not really worth, you know, I guess they were saying that she went from $50,000 to $30 million with her husband in a matter of just a couple years. She's saying that is a huge mistake. And that wasn't correct. And she's going to call her accountant, Brian, the producer. That's her accountant got it wrong. Well, anyways, when it comes to money, of course, she's on the chopping block on that one. But everyone else on the list, they're wondering whether or not there was sexual misconduct. I did want you to hear what AOC, because I thought this was interesting. AOC was asked right outside of the Capitol, right there at the House chamber steps, whether or not she thought Sheila McCormick should resign regarding this $5 million of FEMA funds that's now missing. Take a listen.
And I also asked about Congresswoman Sheriff Les McCormick.
Yeah,
do you believe that she should be expelled? The Ethics Committee last month found her guilty of over 20 violations.
And I think that this case is an example of how this process should go, right? Serious allegations, some that may even be criminal, it be subject to criminal investigation. We went, instead of just knee-jerking going to some things, you know, we can't all be part of an investigatory process. It went through an investigatory process. Ethics has found her guilty, and that's the conclusion that we have, and that's going to come to the floor. And I hope that we can all be bipartisan, because this is what our processes are for, you know, to uphold those conclusions that we see by the commission.
So you think that she should be expelled or should resign?
I would agree with that, yes.
That she should resign,
yes.
And if she doesn't resign, she should be expelled.
If the Ethics Committee, because my understanding, as you said, the Ethics Committee found her guilty, then I would vote in accordance with that. Thank you.
All right, so that was AOC outside for a gaggle with reporters. And she was saying, yeah, Sheila McCormick, the Ethics Committee, their investigation found that she is responsible for that missing $5 million. And when I say responsible, I'm not saying she lost it. I'm saying she lost it supposedly and then found it in her own wallet. That's what the ethics investigation says. So there's 25 counts, by the way, with this investigation. And of course, Sheila McCormick, she says that she believes, and she's in Florida's Congressional District number 20, by the way. She said that she believes that it was too soon, and even though this investigation had been going on for more than a year, by the way, she said it was too soon and that the Congress should have waited until she was criminally charged to even talk about expelling her from Congress. So she was resigning because you had Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna and a few others over the weekend saying, if she doesn't resign, we're going to take this to the floor. We're going to vote to expel her. Because the ethics investigation was, in fact, completed. And instead of denying that she took the $5 million, she said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound fair. She didn't once say she didn't take the FEMA funds, just so you guys know. She didn't once say that. And so it kind of reminded me of the whole George Santos situation. You remember that? The congressman formerly in New York. And, you know, George, the sad part is for me is George is he's such a character. Everybody loves George. He's such a character. But what he did was wrong and criminal. And, you know, they were talking about expelling him. And I even told you guys, you know, at that point, I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, this is the Ethics Committee investigation. But they were willing to expel him even before the Ethics Committee investigation was complete. And I said, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. And so anyways, it was completed. They found, as well as a jury of his peers, found that, Congressman at that time, George Santos, did in fact take donor dollars, and he had them wired. So he had wire fraud charges, all kind of things. He had them wired to his personal account straight from the donor's accounts. And I even said to you at that time, I think he believed he was not going to win, and I thought he was thinking he was going to leave the country. Because if you recall, he spent a lot of time, he lived in Brazil, he lived south of the border. And that seat, again, it's blue now, a Democrat sitting in the seat where Congressman George Santos sat, that seat is typically held by a Democrat. And so George Santos, when he was out campaigning, he had convinced Democrats to vote for him, you know, because he is this gay man. He used to dress in drag. They were like, oh, he's an LGBTQI ally on the right side of the aisle. And they thought that he leaned left enough to really be, you know, someone that they could support. And so he did. He got in there. And the DNC, if you recall, afterwards, they were livid. Because he didn't end up on the DNC's radar. And so, you know, of course, me, I'm sitting here thinking, guys, this is a Republican seat we don't usually have. I mean, what are we talking about here? Because remember, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who did lose his, by the way, you guys, he lost his primary. He won't be back to Congress for the 120th Congress next year. But Dan Crenshaw, he was leading the charge saying, no, we got to get George Santos out of here. And, I, you know, of course, me, I'm like, I'm in my feelings. And I'm like, no, that's our seat. Let's stop. Let it go. But, you know, it was the right call. It was the right call. And, you know, George said, you know, he screwed up. And, you know, it was understood. But anyways, same thing with Sheila McCormick. $5 million in FEMA funds. Sweetheart, the fact that you didn't resign immediately, ridiculous. But this is what they do. This is what they do. All right. Also, I did find out, remember the break, before the break, I said Isabel Cumming, the inspector general, apparently the mayor's office really is really upset because there was a post that she reshared on her social media account of Mayor Brandon Scott wearing like all this jewelry and having this big SUV, as he does. And I guess somebody was saying, you know, there was a caption there that said he was exposed, as in he was, you know, taking in all this money and buying a bunch of stuff for himself. And so now the mayor's office is very upset about it. And they want somebody, they want the ethics committee to look into her post. Well, first and foremost, she didn't make it, right? She reshared it. So the ethics committee would say, yeah, poor judgment, but she didn't make it. Not only that, obviously, he's a little bent out of shape because she's suing the mayor's office for not getting the information she needs to do an investigation. And I believe the court's going to rule in her favor. If whistleblowers, as they did, if they come forward and say, hey, there's some shenanigans here within the mayor's office of neighborhood safety and engagement. And if you heard, the prosecutor, state's attorney, Ivan Bates, said the same thing. That's why he no longer has a relationship with the gun violence reduction strategy program, because he said that there was something there where he felt there were funds going in and out of the door that were not properly being tracked, and he believed that were going out of the door in a way which was not proper. And that's, again, where Mayor Scott said, well, it's not illegal, but it could be improper. So anyways, he's mad about that post, and that's why he's calling for an investigation. You know, it sounds like a kid, a toddler, crying about a post. It's not going to happen. But this just shows, I think, again, I think Mayor Scott doesn't understand how often he shows his hands here. You're upset about a social media post, okay? Like, let that sink in. A social media post. You've got the school system right now where kids are failing. You finally get rid of the school CEO. You bring in now a CEO that was just sworn in yesterday from another failing system. You've got still homicides, still the crime rate. You've got juveniles still running out of control, carjacking people left and right. You're calling an ethics investigation into a Facebook post? Mayor Scott, I don't know what you can do to make yourself look better, but please, at least try. At least try! I mean, this is ridiculous. It's like, you know, when people call him the boy mayor, this is why they do. When they say DEI, Mayor Scott, this is why people say this. Get it together. Yes, it's a post you didn't like. But you know what? Maybe it rubs you the wrong way because it's not actually false. you did buy an SUV with taxpayer dollars for the mayor's office, not personally, but you use it with taxpayer dollars, and it is more than the SUV that even the governor rides around in. You just proposed a budget that would add more staff to your office, and even if it's some of the contributions are private, that still isn't proper. You have shown up. I received a picture today. Of course, he's showing up, speaking at all these different engagements. And, yeah, some of the outfits are pretty wacky. And so, if that was included in the post, it is what it is. And I just want to say as a public service announcement, I don't think capris should be for men. And that's what I'll say, okay? I don't think men should be wearing capri pants. And Mayor Scott, that goes out to you, too. All right, I do want to get into some of these other comments here, mainly from State's Attorney Haven Shoemaker. Now, we talked about this just a little bit yesterday. He is the State's Attorney in Carroll County. He's not running for re-election, but not only that, he's running out of the state. He believes Maryland is a lost cause. Take a listen.
Westmore and the Democrats in the General Assembly, you've won. I'm leaving.
Carroll County State's Attorney Haven Shoemaker says after 61 years of living in the state and working through different roles in local and state office, he will not be renewing his term and leaving Maryland.
Essentially, the way I see it, Maryland's kind of a lost cause at this point.
Shoemaker saying this legislative session was his final push out of the state. He's pointing to a number of issues, including the Youth Charging Reform Act, which ends automatic charging of 16 and 17-year-olds as adults for certain drug, assault, and gun offenses.
It's more criminal coddling legislation that we see emanating from Annapolis every single year.
As well as changes to immigration reform, including the Community Trust Act, which seeks to further limit ICE cooperation in Maryland, and the ban of the 287G program, which had allowed local law enforcement to collaborate with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in identifying and detaining undocumented immigrants in detention centers, already signed into law by Governor Westmore.
Yeah, they were just telltale signs that Maryland's lost.
Plus the taxes and fee policies enacted last year.
So Maryland has gotten progressively more woke every single year. Their fiscal policies are awful. They're taxing people to death. Car registration fees are through the roof. And, this most recent session in Annapolis was really, sealed my fate and has hastened my departure. Maryland's now become a sanctuary state. Even after jacking up taxes to the tune of, $1.6 billion last year, we're still looking at a structural deficit next year.
And that, again, is Haven Shoemaker, the Carroll County State's Attorney that's on his way out of the door. He's moving to North Carolina, apparently. And he just said, the quiet part out loud. I think a lot of people feel the same way. If you want to weigh in, you can. 410-WCBO-680, 410-922-6680. It's unfortunate, but it's kind of what Delegate LaToya Cagola was just saying also in the studio. And she said, we're going to continue to have a structural deficit because they're not doing anything as far as cutting spending so that they can get above water. And that is, again, what he pointed out. But not only that, not only will taxes continue to raise on you and I and everybody else in this state, but the juvenile charging bill. He mentioned that one. Of course, as the state's attorney, right, the head prosecutor there in Carroll County, that's got to make your job a lot harder. Now you're talking about sending all these juveniles straight to DJS. And they're already overwhelmed. You have juveniles that are out on these ankle monitoring system, or they're cutting them off, and they're still doing all these violent crimes. You got the Child Interrogation Act that's still in place. That went in place, remember, last year, where you can have the state's attorneys and prosecutors can't even talk to the kids that are involved in these violent crimes. You got the 287G ban. You got the Community Trust Act. You can't even work with federal lawmakers or federal partners when it comes to dealing with undocumented immigrants. And again, I did ask, just so you guys know, I did ask Delegate Nick Allen on Facebook again because he's answering other people's questions and stuff. But that House bill that he was talking about for the super speeders, and what it would do to crack down on those that were really just going, you know, above and beyond the speed limit. But the way that they're going to do this, if you were here illegally, it wouldn't touch you. Not at all. If you were one of those juveniles that steals someone else's car, it wouldn't touch you. It would just crack down on those that are speeding to work or what have you. And, you know, and there's some people out there that are speeding for no reason. Look, I like to speed every once in a while. You guys know that. I shouldn't admit it, but I do. You know, I tell you the truth. But at the same time, I did ask the question again to Delegate Nick Allen. You know, what then happens to those that are undocumented, as you would call them? Nothing. And that's why he can't respond to it. So I get why Haven Shoemaker is out of the door. I guess I'm just going to be a little more optimistic, and I'm going to hope that the voters do vote for some of these Republicans running for the House of Delegates or the state seats, or they will actually vote for a Republican governor. Now, whether or not that will happen, I don't know. And I have people offline ask me all the time, you know, is Ed Hilsinger going to get in? Is it going to be Ded Cox? Is it going to be John Myrick? Is it going to be any of these people that are running for governor right now? And I can't definitively answer that question. And I got to be honest with you. I can't answer it at all. I can't even, in this moment, I'm still not there yet. I'm hoping that people get a clue. But the more and more I see across the state, you just have to wonder, you know, is it the Trump derangement syndrome? Is it that bad? Where you don't even know this guy, Wes Moore, is really screwing you over? I don't know. We shall see. When we get back, I'll answer some of these phone calls here. Also, spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help your joints flexible and keep them moving comfortably right now. So, listeners, you can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and research-backed green lip muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduced stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you're going to notice over time. So all you have to do is go to res-q.com and use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free, or if you want, you can call a product consultant. 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code RELIEF.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
Have you been injured in a car accident? Don't let the insurance companies push you around. I'm the Ouch Guy, and I fight for hardworking Baltimore families. You won't see me backing down. So while you focus on getting better, let me handle the rest. Call 877-OUCH-911 for the best attorney experience. Ouch Guy is Yehoshua Beer.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, little note here. Again, happy Wednesday to all of you. We've got the Fire Union President of Baltimore County, Steve Redmer. He's going to be joining us coming up next here in studio. And I will, when he gets here, I will make sure I get his title right. I don't know what's going on over there. The Fire Union, I don't know what is up with your titles, but I will make sure that I have it right when Steve gets here in studio. And so we'll talk to him coming up next. Don't forget, the question of the day kind of goes with that conversation at WCBM.com. Do you agree with Maryland's firefighters using cannabis to treat medical issues? Senate Bill 439. Okay, so yes or no. Again, brought to you by Runaways for Real Estate. That is a big question because that's the conversation we had yesterday with candidate Glenn Gilhar and Senator Carl Jackson called in. So we're going to get to the bottom of all that with firefighters and the use of cannabis. We were talking about Haven Shoemaker. Carroll County State's attorney's on his way out the door. Got a friend here on the line, Doug and Bob Long in Dundalk. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm just now starting to recuperate from the 90-day session of craziness.
Oh, I can only imagine. Delegate, I wish I had more time. I got to get you here in studio. But I wanted to ask you, you know, you're listening to Haven Shoemaker, and so many people say they're moving out of state. What's your reaction?
You know, it's a shame. We have such a beautiful state. You know, I live here. I'm going to fight to stay here. I have a grandson that I want to see, raised in the state. And I'm not a runner. I'll stay here, fight tooth and nail. Unfortunately, some people have to make a decision for themselves. I personally am good friends with Haven Shoemaker, smart man. He's surely going to be missed. He served in Ways and Means with me on election committee, and we killed some bad bills together. He's a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah, no, and I know Haven as well, and he really is a great state's attorney. Doug and Bob Long, let me ask you, you know, this past session, you had a lot going on, but even in the final minutes, you know, with the Community Trust Act and a couple other bills, did you feel as though that this session was even fair? I mean, did you feel like that, you know, towards the end there, that Republicans could fight as hard as they could possibly fight with the way things were kind of set up?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was really disappointed because this happened last year under the different speaker, and it got pretty bad last year. There was a screaming match, and it got pretty bad this year, too. I've never seen the Sergeant of Arms come out the way he did. You know, we weren't allowed to explain our votes, and that's just, you know, it's part of Robert's rules, and the rules were, they didn't follow the rules. So, you know, it's sad. You know, we seemed like we were working pretty much together, and then at the last minute they had one bad bill that they wanted to come out with, and lo and behold, they pulled the rug out.
Yeah, well, Doug and Bob Long, I appreciate you. We got to get you here in studio. I'm going to send some dates over to you. Hopefully, you can come in so we can chat for longer because obviously there's a lot there, and I know that you do work very hard for the people in your district. So, thank you so much. Hope you have a great week.
Well, thank you, and you have a great week too, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that was Delegate Bob Long, and he does work really hard and a really great guy as well. And that's the thing. We've got all these great Republicans, and really, they truly want fairness there in Annapolis. And as we saw in Virginia, it's like the Democrats, they don't even want to play fair. Here they are in the majority, and they still can't play fair. Craziness. All right, speaking of craziness, we had a crazy show yesterday. We did, because I'm not usually moderating here between a Democrat and a Republican, but that's what happened because we were talking about Senate Bill 439, cannabis, firefighters, medical use. What does this bill actually say? Coming up next, Steve Redmer in studio. We're going to talk about that and so much more because I think they just got a little kick in the budget for the firefighters in Baltimore County, which is also great news. Stay right there.
A pension is everything in retirement. A game changer, as they say.
Touchdown!
Why? Because a pension guarantees your income for the rest of your life, no matter what happens or how long you live. All of your bills, all of your monthly expenses covered.
Kabam!
That's the difference between people who truly enjoy retirement and those that stress and worry about what's happening in the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. I never worked for the government, and my company never offered me a pension. Well, good news. I'm talking about private pensions called annuities, and anyone over the age of 60 is eligible.
Incredible!
We can quickly and easily tell you exactly what your guaranteed lifetime monthly income will be with just a simple phone call. Imagine the peace of mind that comes with a guaranteed paycheck every single month for the rest of your life.
Mega win!
Find out your guaranteed lifetime monthly income. There's no obligation. Call Adam Waske, 877-817-2338. That's 877-817-2338.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Democrats, a step closer to taking the closely divided U.S. House in the fall. Virginians have narrowly approved a new congressional map one that likely will give the Democrats 4 additional congressional seats.
Democrats Barack Obama and Congressman Hakeem Jeffries were among those pushing for the measure, which gives Democrats 10 congressional districts and Republicans just one. It passed by a rounded 51-49% as Northern Virginia votes for the new map overwhelmed a strong downstate turnout against it. But this is not yet the final word. A redistricting challenge is on the Virginia Supreme Court's emergency docket. Anne Marie Morgan reporting.
There have been fresh Iranian attacks in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran firing on 3 ships has seized 2 of them. The attacks coming a day after President Trump extended indefinitely the Iran war ceasefire. Same time, he refused to lift the blockade of Iranian ports, and that is something that's being demanded by Tehran. President took part in a marathon Bible reading event the other day, joining many others reading a passage of scripture during an event. It was live streamed from the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
A familiar passage from 2 Chronicles, which has long been a major theme at annual National Day of Prayer events. Federal Appeals Court says Texas can require the 10 Commandments to be posted in public school classrooms. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton calling it a major victory for Texas. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 380 points, gain of almost 1%. The NASDAQ ahead 269, and the S&P is up 56 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
You're not just overweight, you're in survival mode. No pill or crash diet is going to fix that. They don't address why your body is storing fat. At PhD Weight Loss, they treat unwanted weight as a symptom, a signal that your metabolism, hormones, and stress response need attention. Fix that, and the weight comes off naturally. Call PhD Weight Loss, mention Mike G, you'll get 2 weeks free, and they'll pay for your food. Call 864-644-1900, 864-644-1900, mention Mike G, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Americans have a big health care problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. MDTA police officers and state police partnered for an initiative targeting dangerous driving in and around work zones on 95 and the Beltway in Baltimore and Harford counties. During Monday's high visibility operation, law enforcement conducted 103 traffic stops and issued a combined 174 citations and warnings. Police also arrested one driver who was wanted on an open warrant. The safety initiative coincided with National Work Zone Awareness Week, which runs through April 24th. And Fox 45 reports that residents at the Donnybrook Apartments on Knollwood Road in Towson say they are on edge after a string of incidents in which several female Towson University students reported men peeping into apartment windows and possibly recording them. A potential suspect was captured on Ring camera outside a window at the off-campus apartment building. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balance care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes a solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on
on sports.
Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly all rolled into one again last night for Baltimore as the Birds keep taking one step forward and one step back. The good, the return of Adley Rutschman.
4-3 Kansas City of the 8. Adley drives the ball. Deep left center field. Adley Rutschman, welcome back! In his first game off the injured list, Rutschman rocks a go-ahead two-run homer.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson. Rutschman's shot gave the Birds a 5-4 lead, top of the 8th. The bad, Rico Garcia, finally giving up a hit.
There's a high drive. Deep to right field. Not only is it a hit, it's a homer, and it ties the game.
We just jinxed him.
Ryan Lefebvre and the former Oriole Rex Hudler had the call on Royals TV. Michael Massey's solo blast off Garcia, the first hit allowed this season by Suave, tied it at 5, bottom of the 8th. And then the ugly, a fundamental breakdown in the 9th.
Here comes Garcia. Nobody's covering home. The Royals win.
Wow.
On a wild pitch.
6-5 loss leaves the O's with a bitter taste. Going into this afternoon's rubber match at 2:10 p.m., Chris Bassett on the hill for Baltimore. Meanwhile, Jackson Holliday's recovery from hammock bone surgery took a left turn. Last night, the Orioles second baseman removed from his rehab game with AAA Norfolk after experiencing right-hand discomfort.
He had some soreness on the opposite side, which, you know, sometimes there's you kind of compensate with some of the stuff. So his wrist on the opposite side got a little bit sore.
Now, that was Jackson's dad, 7-time All-Star Matt Holliday, on the podcast Foul Territory, divulging his son's injury situation, which I'm sure the Orioles could have done without. Holliday broke the hammock bone before spring training and underwent surgery on February 12th, so it's been almost 10 weeks. Coming up in 30 minutes, Steelers ownership playing musical chairs with Ravens fans. And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve.
WCBM News Time, 11:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a few showers today. Otherwise, clouds give way to some sun and highs end up in the milder low 70s. Partly cloudy and comfy tonight. Temperatures back in the mid-50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
58 degrees in Bel Air, 61 in Edgemere, and 61 in Ellicott City. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? Of course, we're talking about Virginia. They did pass that redistricting map 10-1, 10 Democrat seats to 1. Luckily, the Virginia Supreme Court is going to have the final say. So Democrats, I would hope that they wouldn't take their victory lap just yet. But you know them. You never know what's going on next. Of course, we were talking about that. We did talk about State's Attorney Haven Shoemaker out of Carroll County. He is leaving the state. He's not just not running for re-election out there in Carroll County. He's also leaving to North Carolina. And he talked about it, and he said that, in quote, Maryland is a lost cause, in his opinion. And many of you guys weighed in. I know a lot of you weighed in during Casey and Company with Sean Casey this morning. And there are a lot of people feeling as though that we can't really get over this hump with the progressive Democrats. And I just want to make sure I make that distinction, because I know Democrats, Democrat voters, that get it, that understand it, and that do not like what's going on currently. And some of those Democrat voters have not switched their party, but they are voting on the other side of the aisle. And so I think there are even some Democrats that are upset on the way that things are here in the state of Maryland. So we were talking to Delegate Latoya Cagolo about that and her session wrap-up. And right now, we're jumping right into the conversation here. Another in-studio guest, the president of the Baltimore County Professional Firefighters, Steve Redberg. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Glad to be here.
No, thank you for being here. You know what? And I know you probably listened to the conversation, but yesterday there was a lot of drama. We'll get into that in just a second. I do want to ask you real quick, Steve. Okay, so the Ballmer County Professional Firefighters Association, IAFF, Local 13. What's up with the titles?
It's a long name. It's a really, really long name.
So, how do we get here?
Hey, well, you know, I mean, you got to differentiate between the city and the county. So you have the Baltimore County. And then in Baltimore County, there's also volunteer fire departments. So we have to be the professional firefighters.
Okay.
And then, you know, association. And I think that, you know, there's a weird mix between union association. You know, I think in the southern states, they don't like to talk about unions too much. So, so association's a common title. And then... Some
okay, so it's
it,
not my imagination.
I didn't make the name up.
Okay.
Just so you, we've
so
been talking about the branding of it. Like, we should shorten this up there. And then IAFF, which is short for International Association of Firefighters, which is U.S. and Canada, 350-some thousand members.
All
we are the local affiliate, Local 1311, of the International Association of Firefighters. Baltimore County Professional Firefighters.
All right. Well, I'm just going to call you guys heroes because that's what I think you guys are anyways. All right. Our first responders. And we do. We thank you guys for your service. And there's a lot going on. I'm sure, you know, we look from the outside in, but internally, it sounds to me that there's also a lot going on. You know, you had some wins
this past month.
We'll get into that. But I have to get into this big conversation because it's also the question of the day. Now, Steve, I'm not putting any blame on you for what went on here yesterday, but we had a candidate running for the House of Delegates here in the studio, and he was talking about Senate Bill 439, which did, in fact, pass, okay? And this bill would allow, and this is my first question for you, Steve, if I could, this bill would allow firefighters to use cannabis as medical treatment. And the conversation got into whether or not it was even on the clock or off the clock. First and foremost, can I ask, is this a major issue within the fire department?
Yes.
It is.
100% unequivocally a major issue. As we spoke before we went on the air, I've probably gotten more calls on this issue and this legislation from my members than I have on any other issue relating to the fire department. And that doesn't mean legislation. That means discipline issues, grievance issues. This is one that's on the radar. Our members, because of the work that we do, disproportionately suffer from chronic pain, sleep dysrhythmias or dysregulations, cancers. These are all part of what we do and the impact on the job, on our bodies and our health. And for far too long, we have been prohibited from using a safer alternative for medical treatment. So, you know, you have chronic pain, you go to the doctor, they're going to write your prescription for opiates. Okay? We all know that that's bad. All right? There's dependency issues, there's other health issues that go along with that. When this safer alternative exists, and because of the stigma behind it, because of many different reasons, we're prohibited from using even medically authorized to treat the ailments that we suffer. So, that's basically it in a nutshell. We can obviously expand on that more.
Yeah. So, and again, Steve, thank you for pointing this out, because that was the big topic as well with this. It's like, you know, some people are wondering, is this exactly what firefighters want or need? But you're saying that there is a big need here. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We do see dependency on some of these prescription pills that are coming from doctors. And the last thing we want is for our first responders to end up down that road. If you were to think of percentage-wise, would it affect a large percentage, do you think, of the Baltimore County Fire Department?
I don't know if it would be a large percentage, because everybody has to make their own personal decisions on what they're comfortable with, what they're willing to do. And there's also obviously other legal implications as far as, you know, whether you have a handgun permit, things like that at the federal level. People are going to have to make their own decisions on that. But to have this as an option is so critical, because so often it's not just the opiates and the prescribed medications or the benzodiazepines or whatever. People often self-medicate, too, and that's alcohol. And our brothers and sisters up in Pittsburgh, they negotiated medicinal cannabis into their contract back in 2018. And to hear their union leader going around, he's given speeches. He's actually testified for our legislation in the state of Maryland. He's given presentations at our state conventions. It's been a resounding success there in ways that they didn't even imagine. So their DUI cases for their members have almost completely disappeared. Their prescription health care, their prescription drug costs for the city of Pittsburgh have decreased. Now, they can't link that directly to it because there's a lot of factors, but when has that ever happened?
Right.
So, and in fact, they, again, anecdotal or whatever, but they said that their members are actually performing better on the job because they can actually, a lot of them, we work rotating shift schedules. Some departments work 24-hour shifts. We don't have normal sleep patterns, and a lot of people struggle with sleep. Since they've passed this, or since they've allowed this in Pittsburgh, their members are coming to work refreshed. They've gotten a good night's sleep, probably saving marriages, saving lives. Honestly, I've watched members, I've seen members in our department who have passed away because of the trajectory of prescription medications, dependency, alcohol, self-medication, and it's destroyed their lives. And we've seen it happen, and this is something that could prevent that.
Well, again, we're speaking to Steve Redberg. He's the president of the Baltimore County Professional Firefighters Association. Steve, let me ask you this, because, of course, this was also a big question with the Senate Bill 439. Would this bill allow firefighters to show up under the influence?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Nothing changes as far as on-duty impairment or use. It's prohibited now. The bill specifically says, and I know that there was some...
Let me get into that language here for a second.
Sure.
Because I was given this page, and Glenn Gilhar is the delegate candidate there in District 8. And it says, this will prohibit an employer from, and it goes down to prohibiting a fire and rescue public safety employee from using cannabis while on duty. Now, I was given this page not realizing it was a subsection. And the page prior to that.
You scroll up just a couple inches.
Yeah, and I was sent this later by Senator Carl Jackson. It says nothing in this subsection. So that's what you were referring to as well. So you were listening to this, and what were you? What was your reaction then?
I was screaming at my phone. Of course, this was after the fact, so I couldn't call in and correct the issue at the time.
So Senator Carl Jackson is correct?
Correct, yes. The legislation, that page there says nothing in this subsection prohibits, well, I'm trying to pull it up now, nothing in this subsection, and then down, I don't know the legal terms for all the little sublines and whatnot, but what it's saying is nothing in this subsection prohibits an employer from prohibiting a fire rescue public safety employee from using cannabis while on duty. So nothing in this bill prohibits an employer from prohibiting us not to use on duty, and there's also language there about impairment. And just to be clear, no firefighter wants to look to their left or right on a fire engine, ladder truck, or a medic unit and have the person that their lives are relying on be impaired. Nobody wants that. That's not what this is about. I don't know any firefighters that want to be on duty impaired themselves, because, again, our lives are on the line. This has nothing to do with that. This legislation allows this to be treated the same way that opiates would be, or Adderall or benzos. Like, you're off duty, you have a prescription, you can take them. But you can't be impaired when you come to work. So now, and look, I guess I give out private, personal medical information. I take Adderall every day. So when I go for random drug testing at work, I test positive for methamphetamines because that's what Adderall is.
Right.
Then the medical resource officer calls me. I go down to the occupational physician. I hand them my prescription, and I'm good to go. But right now, what's happening is because the metabolites of cannabis, THC, stay in your system for up to 30 days. So you could have a medical authorization use. You could have a legitimate ailment that's being treated with cannabis. You could use it 3 weeks prior. And because the metabolites of THC are still in your system, you're going to be fired or strongly disciplined. And when we see it happen, it doesn't happen a lot because it happened more when they passed the legislation to legalize recreational use. I think there was some confusion. It doesn't happen often, but the key distinction here is that the metabolites of THC in your system that the random testing is checking for also doesn't show impairment. So you're being fired for not being impaired because you had a medically authorized use of this medication, but we don't have the protection. So that's what this bill is designed specifically to prevent.
Okay. So when a firefighter shows up, that there's a random drug test, and they are tested, and it comes up that they have marijuana or cannabis in their system, yep, because of Senate Bill 439, they're able to go about their regular day and their duties and still show up to work the next
day. If they have the medical authorization.
If they have the medical authorization. It's not just somebody getting marijuana off the streets.
It's not allowed recreational use.
No recreational use. Okay. Correct. So that changes things.
Sure.
For sure. That changes the conversation. I also want to thank you for clearing up the bill itself.
Mm-hmm.
Senate Bill 439. And I, you know, apologies to Senator Carl Jackson. It's not that I don't believe you because you're a Democrat, but it was very difficult, if anybody could understand on my side. We have people call in, by the way, Steve, because it was very confusing,
sure,
sitting here and only reading that one page.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm glad that we have all of that figured out. Now, of course, we've got a caller on the line we'll get to when we get back. Also got a couple of text messages here as well. Again, we're speaking to Steve Redmer. He's the president of the Baldwin County Professional Firefighters Association. And Steve, when we get back, I do have a couple questions for you. Then I also want to talk about your big win that you had earlier this month. As
absolutely,
well, because you were there and looked like it was a big well-to-do because you had even the interim county executive, Kathy Clausmeyer, was there.
That's
there were
right.
So many people there that were celebrating. So I want to make sure we talk about that when we get back. First, I recommend AES Builders and Home Improvement because they truly care about the people they serve. From our very first conversation to the final walkthrough, Shauna and Steven, the owners, now being almost 2 years, have majestically continued Shauna's dad, Tim Munson's love and passion for helping to create your needs and your dreams. And just so you guys know, I know both Shauna and Steven, and we've hung out together, and they are a fantastic couple, very professional, but also understand what many of our needs are. Okay, so their craftsmanship, attention to detail, and commitment to doing it right is why families have trusted AES since 1989. And that's why I do, too. At AES, their motto is still the same. When they're done, you'll be happy. If you're not happy, they're not done. So call AES Builders today, 410-574-4400. Tell them Kim Klasick told you. And if you want, you can visit their online address at aeshome.us.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, April 25th. Find a collection site near you at deatakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
We've learned to listen.
Listen for the news at the top of the hour and again at the bottom of the hour. Then back to the top for more.
That's why it's important you listen to us.
Listen for the news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're speaking in studio to Steven Redmer. He is the president for the Baldwin County Professional Firefighters Association. And we had the big discussion yesterday with Glenn Gilhar running in District 8. And then, of course, Senator Carl Jackson called in from his dentist chair to say that is not how this bill should be interpreted. And he was talking about Senate Bill 439, which will allow Maryland firefighters to use cannabis for medical treatment. Now, they have to have the medical card. It has to be prescribed. This isn't like, you know, you buy, you know, some weed off the streets and then you smoke and then go to work next day. That's not a thing. Right now, of course, the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Right now, 57% of you say that you agree Maryland firefighters should be able to use cannabis to treat medical issues. 43% of you say no, that you don't agree. So it's pretty close. But right now, the yeses have it. I'm going to go to the phone lines here. I got my friend Gary in Kingsville. Gary, did you have a question?
Well, yeah. I'm not a drug user, never have, so I'm always somewhat confused by this issue. Is he says they can use cannabis. Does it make any difference how they take it in? Is cannabis always something that is smoked in order to give them a remedy, or can they have a pill? What are the alternatives?
Steve?
All right. So there's there's a lot of different ways. I don't use myself, and I haven't really looked into the market, but I know a lot of people are using gummies. They convert THC into butters, and they can put it in brownies and cookies and gummy bears and oils. There's so many different ways of using medical cannabis. It's not just the old Cheech and Chong up in smoke, rolling a big doobie and going to town. It's different these days. From what I hear. And, medical cannabis has been allowed in the state of Maryland for, over 10 years, I guess, now. So there's many different pathways of using. And that's why it's clear, it's important to note here that we're talking about medical use.
Whether it's medical or social, you say that cannabis or THC remains in the system for upwards of 30 days, did I understand?
The metabolites of THC. So when your body processes the THC, it turns into a different compound, and then that compound is stored in your fat cells, and it doesn't clear out for many, many days or weeks. Depends on your body composition.
But you're not still high.
You're not high. Probably. No, the high is short. If there is a high, I mean, some people use medical cannabis and there is no high.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some
okay.
people
okay.
might eat a quarter of a gummy and it just relieves their, their anxiety or their, whatever. It helps process the traumas that we experience that end up developing into PTSD. So some people use it and there is no high. It's just a treatment.
They say that the marijuana that's being sold these days is a much more powerful marijuana than it used to be.
Well, is that on the street though, Gary, or is that?
I don't know.
I think that's an accurate statement that, the last time that I used marijuana was in high school.
Okay.
It was a lot different back then.
Okay.
As this industry has developed, from what I hear, the THC levels in some of these products are very, very high. But that's not what we're really talking about here. There's also options, like I said. Different edibles, gummies, things like that. They're titrated. They're, what the dose of THC is that you're getting.
Gary, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm still not sure I understand it totally, but I'll keep listening and maybe I'll be enlightened.
And that's Gary from Kingsville. That's my hometown.
All right. Well, there you go. Gary, thank you so much for calling in. Hope you have a great weekend. Tell Jackie I said hi. Thank you so much. Yeah, Gary's a good guy. I think it is just really confusing for many, Steve.
Yep.
And I think that's what happens here because, even with the text messages, I think people are wondering if it's just like you said, that the whole Cheech and Chong thing.
Yeah, I think
that's what people are imagining.
There's a stigma. There's all kinds of associations that people have with this.
Yeah.
But that's why I try to, keep linking it back to, opiates. We know what opiates are, morphine, heroin, whatever you want to call. Our members can get prescribed that by their doctors, and they can use it off duty. Can't use it on duty. So,
this is a
that's a dangerous pharmaceutical drug.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
So the it still kind of boggles my mind that we still look at cannabis as this boogeyman that it's a plant you can grow in your backyard. Honestly.
Well, I don't want to rush you off the topic, but I did want to just because we have a minute left. I wanted to just go over the win that you got there in Baltimore County.
Yes, battalions. This is a difficult thing for the layperson to understand. So Baltimore County, any jurisdiction is broken down geographically into what we call battalions, and then those battalions have a chief, a battalion chief. That chief is responsible for all the administrative and supervisory duties within their battalion, as well as being the incident commander on fire grounds, rescue incidents, anything like that, any significant call. 30-plus years ago, we had 6 battalions in Baltimore County. It's a 600-plus square mile jurisdiction. Well, it was cut down to 3 back in, I think, 2000. So we have 3 battalion chiefs on duty, or 3 chiefs on duty. We got back to... County Executive Klausmeier, in a budget this year, added 12 more battalion chiefs. We have four shifts, so that's three per shift. It's huge for the safety of our members and for the efficient operations in the fire department.
Sounds good. So that is a win. Congratulations to you guys. I really do appreciate it. Steve, we got to get you back in here again.
Anytime.
Steve Redmer, excuse me, president of Baltimore County Professional Firefighters Association. Thank you so much.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Iranians continue making trouble in the Strait of Hormuz as President Trump exercises restraint, hoping it will ultimately result in a U.S.-Iran peace deal. The Iranians have attacked several ships, seized two of them, while President Trump has extended the ceasefire indefinitely, awaiting a workable peace proposal from Tehran. By a slim margin, voters in Virginia approving a congressional redistricting map and could help the Democrats win control of the U.S. House in the November elections. The redrawn map boosts the Democrats' chances of capturing four additional congressional seats in the midterm elections, and state Republican leaders hope Virginia's Supreme Court will intervene and undo what they say is an unconstitutional process that will disenfranchise millions of Virginia voters. The Dow trading almost 400 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
Hey, Bel Air, this is Alfonso. Come experience one of the area's most exciting new spots from the festival, Sol Oaxaca. We're serving up fresh homemade Mexican favorites from guacamole made fresh to tacos, fajitas, enchiladas, and more. Love seafood? We've got it. Vegetarian options? Covered. And don't miss our brick oven pizzas and lunch specials Monday through Friday till 3. Join us for lunch, dinner, or drinks 7 days a week. Just Google Sol Oaxaca Bel Air, SOLOAXACA, for Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. That's Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. And come taste what everyone's talking about.
Custom home builders and remodelers. Find Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville, so dependable and easy to work with that Jarvis has become the go-to supplier for builders throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania. They provide appliances on time, within budget, and at the right price. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. There was actually a lot of good to come out of last night's tough 6-5 loss to the Royals, a game the Birds lost on a walk-off wild pitch by Ryan Helsley in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, I should have picked Kobe.
You should have picked Kobe.
Stay.
Down the line.
Stay.
Left. That's
fair.
Crush.
That's yeah, fair. Wow.
That is fair. Kobe Mayo with an absolutely destroyed fastball.
Kevin Brown, Big Ben, and Dean Kramer mic'd up on the Madison broadcast. Mayo's first of the year, a 439-foot three-run shot in the second that gave the Birds an early 3-0 lead. And then
4-3 Kansas City of the eighth. Hadley drives the ball. Deep left center field. Hadley Rutschman, welcome back! In his first game off the injured list, Rutschman rocks a go-ahead two-run homer.
Rutschman's first of the year as well. Post-game reaction from manager Albernaz on the struggling Mayo.
Yeah, it was great for Mayo. It was such a great swing on that pitch. No, I know he was excited for it. He's putting a lot of work to kind of get back to being him.
And finally, how about this? The city of Pittsburgh getting ready for the NFL draft. Steelers owner Art Rooney II revealing what he did to Ravens fans on WDVE Sports Radio.
You know, I did ask that, on the normal seating chart, I noticed that the Ravens fans were sitting in front of the Steelers fans in one section of the draft theater, so I asked them to make that change, and they agreed to make that change.
There you go. That was smart.
That's just good thinking right there.
Just another in a long list of reasons to revile the Steelers. Coming up in 30 minutes, a wild way to lose a game. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
You're
future Fox 45 forecast. We've got a warm rest of the week, including today, a few showers, but then the rest of the day is drier with clouds giving way to sun and highs in the low 70s. Partly cloudy and comfy tonight. Temperatures fall back into the mid 50s. Sunshine heading into Thursday with even warmer temperatures and highs in the upper 70s. We'll squeeze in one more warm day on Friday, mostly cloudy with some showers arriving late and highs in the low 70s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
All right. Again, a good thank you to Stephen Redmer. He is the president of the Baldwin County Professional Firefighters Association. Clearing all of that up, we can put it to rest. Man, oh, man, I felt like I left everybody hanging. It was like a cliffhanger yesterday. You know, we were trying to figure out, get to the bottom of Senate Bill 439. And it turns out with the Maryland firefighters, they can only use cannabis treatment with the four medical issues. Number one, they have to have a card, a medical prescription card from a doctor. They cannot use cannabis off the street. So if they test for, I guess it's the THC levels there as the firefighters there at work, because they have the random drug testing. If it is in their system, apparently it can stay in their system for up to and sometimes more than 30 days. They will then have to produce that medical card from their doctor. Okay. And according to Stephen Redmer, again, thank you for coming in and explaining, they cannot be using on the job. Obviously, firefighters, as he mentioned, do not want to be with people that are high on marijuana. But not only that, apparently with some of this medical cannabis, there isn't really a high. It's to treat these other areas and issues. Again, like many of you, I don't smoke marijuana. I don't know much about marijuana at all. And so, you know, getting to the bottom of this was a great conversation to have. So, again, Stephen, thank you so much. We have another conversation to have, of course. Delegate Nino Mangione, also running for the Baltimore County Council seat. We got to get his session wrap up because, again, there was a lot that happened to in Annapolis, not just Senate Bill 439, but there was so much going on. Good morning, Delegate Nino Mangione. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. I'm great. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for having me.
I am doing well. We've had a lot of guests today. We had one of your colleagues, Delegate LaToya Cogollo, on earlier.
She's just a good lady.
Yeah, and I know you know Stephen Redmer as well. Like, who don't you know at this point?
You know? I saw Steve last week. He's a great guy.
Yes, yes. You know everybody. And so now we got to talk to you about a lot of things going on. But first and foremost, I wanted to get your take here, if I could, Delegate. Haven Shoemaker, the Carroll County State's Attorney, he says he's not only not running for re-election, which we all knew, but he's actually leaving the state of Maryland for North Carolina. And he made a point to have an interview and to talk about it. And I'm glad that he did, because a lot of people were having the same conversation within their homes. Delegate, what was your initial reaction?
So, Kim, I know Haven very well, which I think, and he's a great guy, and it adds a lot to this conversation, because Haven leaving Maryland, saying he's had enough. I mean, this is a guy who has spent a lifetime here. I mean, he has given back years, decades of his life to public service, and he's basically sitting here saying that the Democrat Party, I want to say state leadership, but let's call it out as it is, Maryland Democrats under Westmore, under this supermajority that they've had for years now, they are pushing these policies that, I mean, Haven's saying it out loud. We've all been saying it for years, but it's really starting to come to fruition now. I mean, less affordable, the state of Maryland, less safe, higher taxes, higher fees. I mean, the vehicle registration fees, we know, are some of the highest in the country. Limits on cooperation with federal law enforcement, with ICE, and our local law enforcement, I should say. Criminal justice changes, sending the wrong message to juvenile criminals. I mean, Youth Charging Reform Act. We've talked time and time again how the juveniles, and maybe we'll have a minute to talk about Towson, for example, but taking over malls, armed robbery in White Marsh Mall, and the only message that Annapolis sent was to actually go easier on juveniles. And this is what it looks like. I mean, this, again, Haven, I love Haven, a great guy, a long, long time career public servant here, and he's not just some transplant to Maryland or somebody, a tourist or anything of that nature, Kim. And this is someone who has spent over 60 years in Maryland. saying that he is absolutely done. He's had enough. And when you just you combine all these things, the rising costs and the weak enforcement of actually, enforcing the law, the government keeps pushing the budget with these structural deficits. People don't just sit there and argue anymore, Ken. They don't just sit there and be frustrated. They say, we're done. We're leaving. We've had enough. And there was an article in the Baltimore Sun that this young, or I guess she was a senior citizen, but she had bought a home in Parkville. And she basically says, I can't afford it. I'm just done. She came back. She had family here. And she said, all the costs, all the expenses, I'm leaving. You have Haven, a career public servant, a Carroll County state's attorney. I'm leaving. I had a friend in the gym I saw yesterday, an extremely successful business family. He told me yesterday, Nino, our family is selling everything. He's moving to Florida. So, Kim, I mean, I've seen this all over social media for years. More and more recently, when I see social media supporters of mine on my page, we have 18,000 or so people, and they always have the same response after I post something that just puts the writing on the wall. They say, when my kids graduate, we're leaving. When I retire, we're leaving. And it's not just us saying this, Kim. The comptroller report from Brooke Wehrman, just a year or two ago, said there was over 2.3 million people who have left Maryland in the last, I guess, 15 years or so. And the only reason that population is being backfilled, believe it or not, people do not realize this, it's actually international immigration that is filling the void. And that's a whole other discussion. But people like Haven, who have spent their whole life here, that are leaving, business people leaving, and it's being filled with international migration.
So, Delegate, are
very
you
sad.
Are you saying Democrats are now for regentrification?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? I never thought I'd hear that. Wow, that's interesting. You know, and I will add to that, Delegate, because some people are, kind of looking at it and saying, oh, well, this has to do with white flight. And I will just mention that in Baltimore City, it is black middle-class families that are leaving in droves. And it is affordability and, of course, the school system. And so if they can afford to leave, that is what they're doing. So those that think that this is about race, it's not about race. It is really strictly about policies, affordability, and then just disabled from Maryland's top leaders. Delegate, I did want to ask you
just quick. All those three examples, I mean, they are across the spectrum. You have a very successful, wealthy family that has done business in Maryland for decades, and they're out. You have a woman who is just on a fixed income in her 70s, tried to be closer to her family, gave it a shot, and said it was right in the Baltimore Sun article the other day. She's heading back to Florida. It's just more affordable. And then you have somebody kind of in the middle there who's a career public servant fighting for the state, and from a great part of this state, by the way, in Carroll County. I mean, a place that anybody would love to live. And even being a resident and a public servant in Carroll, I just can't do it anymore. So it's very sad.
No, it is sad. And speaking of leaving, of course, Delegate, we were talking about the Apple Store heading out of Towson Mall. Now we're talking about someone else leaving the Towson Mall. If you could go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off. I hear there's a great restaurant now leaving.
Kim, this conversation, it's like the repeat on a broken record here. It just keeps repeating and repeating another. I mean, my parents, my family, I have a lot of family that lives in the Towson area. I've been to this Stony River Steakhouse a number of times, a great restaurant. Anybody would love to eat a dinner there, take a date there, take your family out, you name it. And they're leaving as well, shutting their doors. That's 68 people I read in the news that jobs are going to be gone. We know this isn't an isolated case. Apple, the biggest or largest company in the world, actually cited the declining conditions at the mall. And they're not talking about the infrastructure. They're talking about what's going on with the criminal element. We could talk all day, are malls a little dated? Well, sure, but there are malls that are successful in certain parts of the country. But there's a reason that what you look at Towson, you look at near the theater, that chicken place I used to go to every now and then was really good, Nando's. We know the Green Turtle left, the Tommy Bahama. You look at Banana Republic, never leaves malls. Walk and Fuss Candy, Stony River now. I mean, how long is there going to be excuses made? This is what decline looks like, Kim, and I can't believe. I mean, this is why we need somebody like Pat Dyer in the county executive office. This is why I am running for the Baltimore County council here. I will work with any council person, especially Pat Dyer if he's the executive. This has to stop. We need to turn this trend around. Kim, I mean, I was watching a special the other day on Netflix, and I think it was about Rudy Giuliani and how he cleaned up New York, and it can be done. It can be done. I mean, you need to increase foot patrols. You need to look at, I mean, this is prosecutors in Baltimore County. It's tough with Annapolis, but you need to go after these repeat offenders. Focus on where this small percentage, it's a small percentage of people, but they're doing a massive amount of damage. And we need to actually stop any type of catch and release policy that we can in Baltimore County that we can't overdo with Annapolis here. But there are things that we can do. We need to clearly just fully back, as a county executive, a county council, the police. You need to make sure there are more resources there. I live in Loveton Farms and Sparks. I'm constantly seeing stories on social media and the little police blotter app about cars being broken into in Sparks, Maryland. This has to change. And we do not need to keep living like this. And the only way is a total revolutionary change, which Baltimore County needs to give Republicans a real chance to take over Baltimore County and try something new.
Yeah, well, you know what? I will say, Delegate, I have a friend that was living in Sparks, Maryland with his family, entrepreneurs, very well-to-do family. I'm sure you even know them. They actually moved across the Pennsylvania line not too long ago because of what's been going on in Sparks. And I don't think people realize how this is creeping all over the place. I just wanted to note real quick here, Delegate, if I could, or again, speaking of Delegate Nino Mangione. Number one, as much as you work, I can't believe you take time. If you get any opportunity, you watch Netflix and you watch Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, well, I think it was one of those like crime specials or something. Maybe
Delegate, you work too hard. Okay, like, I don't know how else to put this to you.
Every now and then. Especially after 90 days in Annapolis.
I know, and then you're watching politics. Oh my gosh! But I just wanted to note here with Stony River, Turnbull Brockmeyer Law Group. They did note that 68 employees will then lose their jobs. And I know, Delegate, you were just talking about. Of course, you're running there in Baltimore County Council, but also. You were talking about working with people to stop this from happening. Number one, we talked about the fact that Tysons Corner Mall in Virginia and King of Prussia Mall right there in Pennsylvania, they're both thriving. Okay, so when people say that malls can't make or turn the corner, both of those malls are thriving, and I'm one to frequent both of them. I love them both. So they're thriving, but also Turnbull Brockmeyer Delegate brought up a good point. The Towson Chamber of Commerce, at this point, they're not really admitting that anything is going wrong. You know, I would love to know, you know, on county council, would you be able to work with the Towson Chamber of Commerce and to right the ship here?
Well, Kim, Nancy Hafford is a friend of mine. She's a great lady. She works very hard. But yes, I mean, and I would love to work with anybody to help this situation. But with that said, you have to admit there's a problem before you can fix a problem. And we all know there is. And it's not, there's not much she can do. She's not in leadership and in county leadership, and she's not part of the Annapolis problem. But, I mean, if she doesn't think there's a problem, I would just disagree. I think she's a great lady. She loves Towson, but she's wrong to say that there's not a problem. Look at what is happening here. It is a continuing trend of incredibly successful companies. We all know business is a challenge to begin with, but these companies were anchor institutions in the mall, and now they're leaving, and it's one after the other. It's really time for a drastic change in how we go about policing Towson and how we go about policing Baltimore County, more support for law enforcement. I can never underemphasize the impact in the negative way that Annapolis has. I mean, that is a challenge. But county leaders like Pat Dyer, for example, hopefully myself, I mean, if we were in there, I think we would look to make serious changes how we go about it.
Well, speaking of serious changes, before I let you go here, Delegate Nino Mangione, I wanted to ask you about the Inspector General bill. We were speaking to Delegate Ryan Araki, and I didn't get a chance, but we will speak to Senator Carl Jackson about it. You know, when it comes to the Inspector General, unfortunately, this continues to fail time and time again. It's as if they don't want transparency there in Baltimore County. What was your reaction when you saw that it failed this session?
Kim, shockingly, absolutely. I would say this bill, shockingly, and you know what it was? It was the Baltimore County. Now, it was luckily enough for the delegates, the Democrat delegates in Baltimore County, they got a pass here because the senators, I cannot believe it, but Senator Hellerman and Senator Sidnor and Brooks and Mary Washington, the senator, they all voted against I would say the most important bill of the legislative session by far for Baltimore County. This bill, as we talked about the number of times on your show, would have given the Baltimore County Inspector General the right to investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in the school system. For those who are not aware how this works, in order to expand that authority, you need the Maryland General Assembly to actually sign off. And we had the bill. You mentioned Delegate Naraki, Republican. You mentioned Senator Jackson, Democrat. You had bipartisan support on the county council. You had, actually, Kim, believe it or not, and I give sometimes them a lot of grief, but the Baltimore County Teachers Union supported the bill. The statewide inspector general supported the bill. Why would Senator Hettleman kill this bill on the House floor, number one, or with the watered-down version, I should say, but why did Senator Hettleman and Brooks and Sidnor and Washington all vote against the bill to have more transparency on the Baltimore County school budget, Kim, that spends over $2.5 billion, the largest line item, half of the county's budget? This was a very simple bill with incredible support, and they killed it. It is one of the most terrible displays of leadership I've seen in 8 years. I cannot believe this was, and they're actually looking into a new county, the superintendent, because Dr. Rogers is retiring. And Kim, the first question I would say, the first question for anyone that comes in to interview for this position, and it pays over $350,000, by the way, is whether or not they support an independent audit, or audit as well, but an independent office like the Inspector General to have the ability to review our school spending. If not, they should absolutely be told, there's the exit, you take a pass, that applicant has no business. And I cannot believe that the senators left the taxpayers down like they did.
Yeah, I think many of us were all very shocked. Delegate Ito Mangione, I mean, look, I guess this is going to be your final session in Annapolis for now as you're running for the county council seat?
Yep, it was quite an honor to serve the people of District 42A. I'll remain a delegate until the transition. Hopefully I'll be a councilman then, or if not, I'll be, my session, this session was the last session in Annapolis, and then we'll see what happens with the June primary.
Well, I appreciate your service up there in Annapolis, and of course, we're hoping that you win that county council seat. Real quick before you go, how can they follow you? How can they donate to this campaign, and do you have anything coming up?
Yep, NinoForMD.com is my website. Of course, follows. We're very active on social media, on our Facebook page. You can find we have one of the blue check marks. We have a business happy hours geared towards a lot of the businesses in our community. That's next Tuesday at Michael's Cafe in Timonium. And, yeah, just stay tuned. We're always up to things. We attend countless events and community associations, fundraisers, you name it. We were out and about. We were with our friend Maria Zakor last night at the Central Republican Club in Lutherville. I'm speaking tonight at the Sparks Glencoe Community Council, the debate forum. My very extreme liberal, I guess you would say, opponent is supposed to be there as well. Tomorrow we're doing Pints in Politics with Sean Casey, and then we're going to the Republican women's debate. So, yeah, we're very busy.
Wow, really busy. All right, well, Delegate, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
Thank you. And again, that was Delegate Ito Mangione, and he is now running for Baltimore County Council. And don't forget to follow him online. As he noted there, he's got a lot going on, including tomorrow with Sean Casey at Michael's Cafe in Timonium for Pints and Politics. So you can definitely catch him there. Coming up next, there were a couple of things that I just wanted to go over really quickly, but I want to make sure you also got the update out of Iran. So stay right there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing imbalance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. I would like to talk to you today about balance problems, also known as dizziness. One out of every 10 patients who visits their family doctor complains about dizziness. 25% of the time, balance problems are related to the ear. At Audiology Associates, we can not only diagnose the cause of your balance problems, but if it is appropriate, we can also provide a treatment plan. You need not be bothered by dizziness anymore. So call our main number at 410-944-3100 or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans. So call 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden.
Hi, Kim Klasick here. What separates AES Builders and Home Improvement from other builders is simple. The rooms they create become the places where life happens. Memories are made, families gather, and dreams come to fruition. Sean and Steven, who worked alongside Tim Munson, Sean's dad, for 15 years, keeping it in the family. They are carrying forward the AES legacy while bringing in a modern design perspective that will truly amaze you. AES doesn't just build rooms. They build spaces that feel like home. Call AES Builders at 410-574-4400 or visit aeshome.us.
If you're not happy, we're not done. MHIC 37105.
There's a new kind of energy at Starbucks. Try the all-new energy refreshers. Strawberry, acai, mango, dragon fruit, or the all-new mango strawberry. New energy refreshers only at Starbucks.
The Rob Carson Show.
Joe Biden ruined the career of a young woman by digitally raping her on an elevator. I can't even begin to tell you how many times this probably happens in this city. Our Congress had a slush fund to pay off women to shut up about being sexually harassed and assaulted by members of Congress. And the bleep train is coming to its final stop.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, again, thank you to all our guests that came on today. Doug Latoya-Cagolo, Stephen Redmer. He's the Bonner County Professional Firefighters Association president. And, of course, Delgadito Mangione, now running for Bonner County Council. Real quick, a text message here from Aubrey. Says, hey, I use edibles for sleep only, very low THC, no high, but it is high in CBN, which stops my racing brain. So I agree with the usage for those in this line of duty. Great information today, Kim, as always. Well, thank you, Aubrey. I appreciate that. And yeah, I think a lot of us just, we really just don't understand how all this works. Speaking of not understanding what's going on, of course, we're still trying to figure out what's going on in Iran. Do I have time to play this clip here from Fox News? All right, here, take a listen.
Is on hold potentially indefinitely, but also that it could resume at any time. We've not heard any official statement on from the White House side about that travel plan, but the ceasefire has been extended apparently indefinitely while the blockade stays in place. This is what the president said. Based on the fact that the government of Iran is seriously fractured, not unexpectedly so, and upon the request of Field Marshal Asim Munir and Prime Minister of Pakistan, we've been asked to hold our attack in the country of Iran until such time as their leaders and representatives can come up with a unified proposal. I've therefore directed our military to continue the blockade and in all other respects remain ready and able and will therefore extend the ceasefire until such time as their proposal is submitted and discussions are concluded one way or the other. There has been some analysis, including from our own General Jack Keane, talking about who actually has the power to make a deal right now inside of Iran. You have the negotiating team that includes the foreign minister, might not have the authority to sign off on a deal, a power grab happening right now from some IRGC leadership, including the new chief of the IRGC, General Vahidi, who is sort of credited as the architect of Iran's overseas terror organizations, very big hardliner. And so there seems to be, what the president's alluding to, some question about whether Iran's government has itself together, you know, who it's comprised of and who we're dealing with on that side, who's got the authority to sign off on something. And the president seems willing to wait to resume fighting until this diplomatic option, if it's possible, can be hashed out. But what is unclear is whether that will include travel from the U.S. delegation. We know that the Vice President, Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner were planning to go to Islamabad today, and there's been a lot of reporting saying that they have instead come to the White House. The White House has not confirmed their whereabouts or their travel plans.
All right, so there you have it. As of last night, ceasefire is there indefinitely, but the blockade also remains in place. We'll keep our eyes on that. Also in Harford County, real quick, still a lot of infighting there. John Street was nominated for the school board by Harford County Executive Bob Cassily, and that was struck down by the usuals on the county council. You guys, you know, I'm exhausted about the infighting in Harford County, and I don't even live there. Hopefully they can get somebody on that school board soon. As always, Brian, the producer, thank you for a great show tomorrow. We've got a great show planned for you already, so join me at 9 a.m.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid.
Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
This is the right choice for Maryland.